Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
Nothing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Donna Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
I know we've said this before. We never have to drive in the actual traffic that people are in when they're listening to our show.
And that's why we handle it so well when we do.
This morning, I drive carpool every day. I drive the morning carpool I have since my kid was in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Today, what is normally a 40-minute drive took me 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Ooh. That's when I pull the car over to the side, get out, and walk.
Why is it that when there's an accident on one road...
Uh-huh.
You turn around, and it's like a huge conspiracy that suddenly every idiot in the world decides that today's the day that we're going to have an accident. No matter which way I went, there was an accident. Finally, we got by my kid's school. We got on the road to Bard's school, and then I see a sea of brake lights. I mean, just a sea of brake lights. And this was the last one. There were three accidents. There was one on the Beltway, one on the road that we get to the Beltway, and then there was the one that was where you make the turnoff to get to his school.
That's everybody getting the sleep out of their eyes.
And and there was not even an accident. It was a car that had apparently stalled out.
Yeah.
Now, it seems to me that you could have push the car out of the intersection.
Yeah, I wish they had buttons where they're, or like machines. You know, who needs police cruisers? Just get a machine like a forklift, and you simply move the vehicle out of the way.
Well, the guy was sitting there, and he had the hood of the car up, and he had the trunk of the car up, and he had his flashers on. He had that the thing that you put on your dashboard to keep the to keep it from getting hot in the summer that said, "Police, please help." And he had, this guy's really prepared for his car to break down. He had a white flag on his antenna.
Oh, God.
And everybody that drove by.
Meanwhile, he's doing all that and slowing up traffic instead of having the wherewithal just to push his car over to the shoulder.
Yeah. And he was giving everybody this look, because everybody, you know, it's like you're sitting.
Right.
And it was an additional 25 minutes to go maybe a mile and a quarter to where I have to make a left-hand turn to get on the road that my kid's school is on.
And everybody that gets up to that point when they drive by the guy, when they find out he's living, that's just not satisfactory for people.
You know, you finally get there, and not to be gruesome, but you want to see some carnage.
You want to see the big wreck that's, you know, screwed up the morning
payoff. Especially when it's the third one of the morning.
Right.
And like I say, at this point it's been, we've been in the car an hour and 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the kids are starting to run me an attitude like we're going to be late for school and stuff. And I'm doing my best to go, listen, I'm doing everything I can do to get you there and not just throw you out on the side of the road and turn around and go back home. Shut up. We finally pull up, and the guy's sitting there. And the guy is, I swear to God, eating a bagel and reading the newspaper with the hood up and the trunk up and his flashers on, just like, ha ha. How are you doing? So I had to be very discreet about it since there were children in the car with
me. I'm managing my stress level, even though I'm inconveniencing these millions of people.
You know, you finally get up to it and you see that it's not even a wreck. Just some guy's car stalled out.
Yeah.
And keeping in mind that I want to keep the good example, I had to make this move. We finally made the left-hand turn around him. And then I said to the kids, I said, hey, Look at that car over there. Look at that red car over there. There was like a flower. They all looked. And I turn. I give him the double pump. Hey, you.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. Hope you choke on that bagel.
What do you think about that? And I wasn't the only one. He was getting toots and people giving him dirty looks. Everybody blowing their horn at him.
I don't get it either. I mean, especially if it's a level piece of ground.
Yeah.
Can't you just roll it a little bit?
You would think so.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
And it was right in the left-hand turn lane. He was the first car in line.
Idiot. You know, it's not like something comes into the engine where all of a sudden it just completely blocks the engine.
Yeah.
Roll the car. Put it in neutral, for God's sake.
So listen, you know, all you people that drive in this crap every day, I frankly don't know how you do it, because I only have these misadventures every once in a while when the Beltway gets backed up.
You know, last time I did this when we had that appearance up in Baltimore and they had the accident. You guys all took the one way around the Beltway, and I took the other way around the Beltway. And I just want to say that that's not the way I drive normally. Mr. Aggressive Driver.
Hello, Donna Mycho. Yeah, what's with this aggressive driver imaging also?
Yeah, they're counting them out there. They're actually trying to nail aggressive drivers.
Yeah.
Hello?
Donna Mike.
I don't dig that.
No, I think they're out of
because I'm an aggressive driver.
Yeah, I think aggressive drivers, you know, they ought to combat the stupid driver factor.
Yes, please. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Whoa, stupid, inconsiderate drivers.
Here. Buzz, you're so opinionated. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great.
Good. I was just calling, wondering if you all had the big poker game yet.
No, and you know what? It looks like I'm going to have to postpone it another week because everybody's having problems coming over Friday night.
Oh, wow. Oh, so I won't be left out.
Is Bart going to be able to play?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's about the only guy. He and Rob and Buzz are the only guys that haven't canceled out on me for this weekend.
Oh, really? I'm sorry. I mean,
well, that's okay. I'm just adding you to the list of.
Yeah. So a lot of people bagged out at the last second.
Yeah. So I'm thinking like next Saturday night, maybe.
I'm ready.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. You guys are great.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Right,
bye-bye.
Hello. I'm waiting for that. I'm practicing. I'm practicing my shuffling, which really my motor skills are so. Do you know how to shuffle?
Yes.
Like you can shuffle well.
I was a magician. I can do the card fan.
See, I'm still practicing every day, and my fingers just don't seem to work.
No, Rob, not that I don't think it wouldn't be a great poker game with just you and me and Buzz. But no, Rob just gave me a note. Can I still come over Friday? No, I don't think so, Rob.
An evening with Rob.
I think we're going to wait. I think I need more than just you two guys. No offense to you two guys.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It'd be kind of a girly poker party with just Buzz and Rob.
Yeah. And if it was just Rob, it would be an evening with. You can see an evening with Rob also on the Bravo channel.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys. How are you all?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Just want to let you know that I love your show.
Thank you, we appreciate that.
I had a couple of things that I wanted to tell you about today. First of all, Joe Montana and his wife were on Howie Mandel this morning.
No, another one of the shows. Another one of the million TV shows out there.
And the other thing, I wanted to see if you guys would say hello to my boyfriend. He's in jail.
What did he do?
DUIs.
Oh.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Right. How you doing? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hi there.
How are you today?
We're great, thanks.
Hey, just a little PSA for those buffoons out there in the mornings and the afternoons when they're driving and they get in a little fender bender.
Yeah.
The law provides that you don't have to wait for a police officer. You can move to the shoulder. You don't have to
that's what
there.
It is, right? That's probably what he thought. He said if he moves it.
Yeah, but he wasn't in a wreck, though. This was just a guy whose car had stalled out on him.
And he was eating a bagel. That's what
that
was.
And reading the newspaper. With a real happy, retarded smile on his face. Like, and with the flashers on and the big thing, call police on the dashboard, and a hanky on his antenna.
Like the guy, the expression on his face saying, I can handle people giving me abuse.
Hey, look at this. There's a real crappy car, too.
that's when you hope a crappier car comes up in back of him, maybe gently nudges him to the shoulder.
Hey, Don?
Yes.
Hey, one last thing, and I'll let you go. Last week I called, I was the 100th caller, and you hung up on me.
You know what's incredible? When somebody calls a radio station and says, one last thing, and I'll let you go. Uh-huh. Isn't that kind of like our job?
Right, and that was the one last thing, and I let him go.
You let him go, Don.
Hello, Don and Mike. I took the hook out of his mouth and threw him back.
One other thing, and I'll let you go, because I'm running your show.
The other thing that, thank goodness our callers don't do this, that I hate about radio, is someone go, here's my question. What do you think about Bill Clinton? I'll hang up and listen. Right. Oh, come on. F you, Mr. Professional Caller. I'll hang up and listen so as not to tie up the line to be a professional. Right? I hate that when that happens.
I'll hang up and listen because I need two hands free for this procedure.
Hello.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi there. Hi.
Moist humidors to you. For all of us pathetic losers out here who live through your show, would you mind giving us an update on your brother, Don, and what's happened to him lately?
I'll
hang up and listen. Thank you.
Well, please don't hang up. And I would give you the update if I could speak to my brother. My brother's telephone again has been turned off, I'm guessing, because he couldn't pay the bill.
When's the last time you talked to him?
On the show, whatever that was, like 3 or 4 months ago, man.
Man, no phone service.
Right, so I don't know. I did think about writing him a letter briefly last weekend, but then...
Find out if he's still alive.
Something good came on TV, and I was distracted.
There you go.
The Big Lebowski came on TV, and I was distracted. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hi.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is... I'm calling one of you with my son. Happy birthday.
No.
No?
Don't think so.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's such a terrible reaction. Yeah. You're supposed to get mad when he says that.
I'm kidding.
I was getting ready to tell you, you suck and hang up, but...
How many, just out of curiosity, how many vodkas did it take to make that call?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. And of course, see, when you got on the radio and you said, would you wish my son a happy birthday, in essence, you've already done that, which is why I said no.
What is your son's name?
Hunter.
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 Hunter. Hunter.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Nice name.
Interesting.
Okay, well, happy birthday to Hunter.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Rule.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thanks. Thanks for not saying we suck. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Am I the only one that thought she was loaded? I guess
no.
Come on.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Why are you hanging me?
By the way, something.
Why do you care?
Hello?
Hey, that kid's not going to get ridiculed too bad being called Hunter when he grows up, huh?
No, Hunter's no worse than Cody or Wyatt or any of the other ridiculous
Scout. Yeah, that's good.
Scout runner.
No, but I figure there might be a little truth in that. That's
Velveeta.
That guy Hunter Thompson always ended up as wasted as he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Montana, I guess a couple years ago on the Oprah Winfrey Show, they had a First Wives Club thing. And I guess he was so gutless that he left his wife a note in the mailbox saying how he wasn't going to be coming back and that their marriage was over.
Imagine that. Wow. The greatest football player of all time. A man who stood against the blitzes of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Slowly, Montana made his way to the mailbox. There he left a wussified note, leaving his wife without any physical confrontation.
And also, I'm out here in Sacramento, and they've been promoting all week how they were going to run the baseball games and stuff. And sure enough, they ran your show. Instead of running the game, they're going to run the evening game.
Well, good. Who the hell in Sacramento cares about the New York Yankees?
Yeah.
Well, that's a smart move.
Pro football is a game.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Not a war. It's for win or lose. Not life or death. But say that in the summer. For winter brings the playoffs and a season is at stake.
I'm trying to find a music bed so we can do a Joe Montana riff. I got my NFL music out here about him being afraid to do that to his wife. Number 16 walks up to the mailbox.
Lacking the physical courage to confront his wife directly, he pens a note, a Dear John letter.
Dear Gladys, I have met a piece of ass while doing a Gillette Foamy commercial, and I want a divorce.
Slowly, Montana slid the note into the mailbox, jumped into his overpriced vehicle, and sped away.
Suddenly, a squeal of the brakes, and Joe Montana from the University of Notre Dame, in one deft move, reached out and pulled up the red flag to alert his wife that there was a Dear John letter waiting for her.
A surgeon on the gridiron, a total wuss in real life.
Joe Montana, Super Bowl quarterback, Robo Pussy.
Man, that is really lame if he did that.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good 2 or 3 years, or, you know, how old is it?
Is that true? Not that it matters since we say stuff all the time about celebrities that aren't true.
The Oprah Winfrey Show must have been 7, 8 years ago.
Well, anything here on Oprah's gospel, you know that.
Well,
thank you.
Okay, thank you. And one last thing.
Yes. No, forget it. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi.
Enough with the one last thing. Hello.
Hi. I just like to defend that lady who was talking about Bob Costas. I love Bob Costas. He's a very, very knowledgeable man. He knows the sport of baseball and basketball. However, you got to admit, when it comes to being in the up there bung club, he's right up there with that guy on the NBA today. What's his name?
Ahmad Rashad?
Yeah, he's right up there.
There are so many other sportscasters that you can dump on, but it's just Bob
Costas. No, Bob Costas is good.
He's one of the last ones that's really one of the great ones, because they're all being replaced by ex-jocks that just don't cut the mustard.
Ahmad Rashad about him, because he's Michael's butt boy, and then when Michael wants to do a softball interview, he does it with Ahmad Rashad. Now, Bob Costas, on the other hand, is not afraid to ask some big dumb athlete a question that might hurt the big dumb athlete's feelings.
Sure.
I know I've seen Bob Costas ask those tough questions before.
Oh, just one last thing. Hi, Rob.
Stop it with the one last thing. Now, sometimes Bob Costas is a little too cerebral for me. Sometimes
he gets a little highbrow.
Sure. You know, when he gets on his Shakespeare horse.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to hit the mute button. But generally, he's a pretty good announcer.
You might say that when he's doing that, he's kind of bringing balance to the whole thing. Because, I mean, you know, there used to be guys that were broadcasters first. And, you know, it's going away. Bob Costas, he respects, like, the older broadcasters that really used to, you know, on radio, used to really try to paint a picture.
Do you miss Marv Albert?
Herbert at all.
I already hung up on that guy, Buzz, like two calls ago.
No, I was talking to you.
Do I?
Yeah.
No, I never liked him to begin with.
Okay. I'll take a bite out of crime.
Hello, it's Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello.
Hello there.
Yeah, I was calling about Dan Marino and Joe Montana a couple of years ago when they were in the Super Bowl together. The United Way tried to get him to do a live spot, and Dan Marino refused to do the interview because it would not pay.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. You know, when we saw Dan Marino at the Super Bowl, the only time you got him to respond was when you mentioned his commercial, and he stopped dead in his tracks.
Yeah. Right, because he said, hey, you're the guy with the remortgage your home commercial.
I just thought I'd throw that in there. I also wanted to say something. I'm going to hang up, and I'll listen to you guys, all right?
Stop it.
The autumn wind is a pirate. Blustering in from sea, with a rollicking song he sweeps along.
This was written by Bob Cosby.
Voicelessly. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head.
Marino said no. Pay me.
The most mercenary whore in the NFL.
Someone said to Dan Marino, sign my hand. He said, yes, that will be $300.
For the Miami prodigy who would get paid to take a bowel movement if he could, this was nothing out of the ordinary.
Number 13 on the gridiron, when faced with a room full of crippled children who wanted a moment of his time for the United Way, said, where's the effing money?
Dan Marino, if it's green, he'll show. Otherwise, screw you.
Dun, 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 dun.
That football music's the best.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. I support Joe Montana. He did the right thing, because look at Phil Hartman, you know? Phil Hartman said, hey, honey, I'm going to leave you, and then boom, he's no round around anymore.
Difficult point to argue with.
Yeah. Oh, and listen, about Phil Hartman, you know, I wish they would stop milking this thing with John Lovitz replacing Phil Hartman. You already had to go through the whole thing last week on News Radio when it was, you know, we say goodbye to Phil Hartman.
Oh, yeah.
And now this week it's, you know, join John Lovitz.
I'm still going to watch that show now. Yeah. I'm going to be more into watching that show than I would have been before. I mean, nothing, you know, the late Phil Hartman. Sorry, he will be missed. But I'll tell you, I like John Lovitz in anything he does.
Always makes me laugh.
You guys are alone on that island.
You're not a Lovitz fan, huh?
Never have been, Mike.
That's because you're not an actor.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What's up, Don and Mike?
Hi there.
Hey, just chilling, sitting here with my girlfriend.
Right on.
Yeah. Hey, we're a little busy. She's, I don't know if she's about to get a stain on her blue dress.
Oh, you're a little busy right now as we speak?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you getting some?
Man, I'm trying.
You're getting busy, like, right now?
Right now.
Is your girl...
She's giving me one of them presidential specials.
Why don't you put her on the telephone?
All right, hold on a second.
Well, it's not polite to talk.
Buzz. Look at his funny pills today.
Dirty Buzz.
Hello.
Hold on.
All right.
She's been a little shy. Come here.
Oh.
What?
Come here.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, baby.
Hey.
What are you doing? Are you servicing your man right now?
Yeah, trying to.
Really?
Trying to.
Trying to. How long does that normally take?
Not very long.
Not very long, huh?
Not very long.
Really?
Who's the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
I don't know.
Mm. Are you good at what you do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, why don't you go get back to work?
Okay.
And give him the phone back.
Hey.
Hey. You know, this could be like, you could get the same rush right now that Clinton got when he was getting a Monica, when he was talking to...
Experience talking to us?
Yeah, we got the beach towel out.
See, I would have a hard time concentrating.
Sure.
I can't have like a TV on or music on or anything when I'm having juicy relations with Frida.
Oh, I got to deal.
You what?
I got skill.
You got skill?
You got skill.
Yeah.
I think really if you get into it more with, you know, talking to a couple of guys on the phone, you know, that might mean you have a little gay in you.
Nah. Nah. Like that.
Everybody's got a little gay in them. I told Chastity Bonal was 5% gay, but really it might be more like 15 or 20%.
If he wasn't having trouble before, he might be now.
I might go over it. Ain't nothing wrong with a little carpet munching every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? So that you've asked your girlfriend perhaps to bring another woman into the bedroom?
Yeah, I've tried, but she didn't get into that idea too much.
Mm-hmm. Is she doing it right now?
Well, she kind of got mad at me for putting her on the phone. So
she stopped?
Yeah.
Huh.
Are you able to maintain your level of arousement while speaking to us?
Oh, yeah, it's still
very scary.
Goodness. Thank you. Larry Flint Jr. checking in. You remember him from yesterday's show. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, I got a question, a comment, and then I'll take it off the air.
What?
What were you saying?
I got a question and a comment for you, then I'll take it off the air.
Okay, no, he's doing the thing about the callers. Yeah. I got a question and a comment, then I'll take it off the air.
Yeah, take it off the air.
Hello? Donna Mike. All right, one last call here. Hello. Donna Mike Show.
Hi, I just wanted to call and talk to Donna Mike and tell him what me and my boyfriend do when we play with the phone.
How old are you?
I'm 19.
19. She's a rookie, Mike.
Hey, 19.
So you guys do what?
When my boyfriend's on the...
Your boyfriend's not over 30, is she? Is he?
No.
Okay. How old is he?
Not quite.
Is he a high school boy?
No.
That's from Fast Times at Ridgemont High when, what's her name?
Phoebe Cates, right?
She says, I don't date high school
boys.
He's a high school boy.
Sure.
She's going out with the guy from Circuit City or...
Yeah, the stereo salesman, you know?
He's a stereo salesman. Okay, what were you going to say there?
This is my first time calling, so... but when I'm giving my boyfriend a Monica, we play this game where he's on the phone with his friends and we can see how long he could stay on the phone.
That's very nice, Whore. Thank you. Bye bye. See you later.
16.
See you later, right? I had the same thought, Buzz. We are coming right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
How do you explain your unbelievable popularity in France?
The same way I explained it in Italy.
Yeah, but France,
Germany,
nuts, Legion of Merit.
Yeah, Legion of Honor and all of that.
Why do you think?
But they're still seventh in line. This French thing has been a misnomer for years.
Explain.
Italy, Germany, the Netherlands, Belgium, Spain, then France.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, why Europe?
Because I talk the international language. I'm not the ugly American that comes over there. I'm the guy that goes...
But appreciation of the films.
They have a great regard for the auteur. They have an infinite regard for the total filmmaker. They are very, very involved with the man who puts it up on the screen. Because when Dean and I did films in Europe, we did a $300,000 revenue all of Europe. A Jerry Lewis directed film brought $7 million. Big difference.
They like that.
Yes, they're into the filmmaker and the guy that puts it on the screen, whether he's in it or not.
Will you direct again?
Oh, God, yes.
The Don and Mike Show. They like holes, not poles. Don and Mike.
The Jerry Lewis tapes.
Yes.
Got them right here.
Mm-hmm.
The big telethon was on over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We, of course, much too busy to watch it. However... Rob Spiewak not only watches it, he tapes it, and actually keeps logs every year of everything that happens. Why do you do that, Rob?
I always have. I don't know.
He presses his nose up against the TV glass.
Wow. Okay, you want to hear the funniest one first?
Yes, I do. I love it. You know, anything Jerry makes me laugh, especially when he's trying to be serious.
Okay, this one really cracked me up. And you'll hear why. Jerry Lewis.
This guy comes to us every year, and he's worth it. It's worth a year to wait to see him. He's bright, innovative, and terrific and funny, and a wonderful human being. Please welcome Carrot Top. Here he is.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Hey!
You heard that, and you think it's going to be like...
Labor Day!
It could be like Wayne Newton or something like that. He's bright, he's funny, welcome... Carrot Top.
How far they have fallen.
Yeah.
This guy comes to us every year, and he's worth it. It's worth a year to wait to see him. He's bright, innovative, and terrific and funny, and a wonderful human being. Please welcome Carrot Top. Here he is.
Carrot Top. So Carrot Top comes out and does some of his stupid Al Yankovic ripoff set, and then There's the moment when Jerry thanks him.
Oh, great.
And tells him how marvelous he is.
Wonderful. Here you go.
You guys have been a lot of fun. Please call and send some money. Thank you.
Hey, kid.
Hey, Jerry.
You did too short a turn.
Huh?
You just...
Mouth of Altoids.
You did
me.
No. You're there every year for me.
Yes.
And I need you to know that I know behind all this idiocy beats the heart of a wonderful young man.
Oh, that's nice.
And we're delighted to have you on the show.
Well, thank you.
And we know you're going to keep continuing doing all great stuff, and we wish you the best.
Well, thank you very much. And I like coming here. It's a lot of fun. Makes me feel good about here.
Thank you, Carrot Top.
Bye, guys.
Carrot Top. Which just cracks me up.
I mean, it used to be the showbiz luminaries, and now it's...
thank you, Carrot Top.
My friend.
Here he is. He's marvelous. He comes out every year. He helps us out. He's always there for me. Carrot Top.
Next year's going to be...
Here he is, Fred Travellino. Carrot Top.
Carrot Top.
Okay, now, here's Jerry.
Okay.
Having a little rave out. Rob, how many hours into the telephone was this?
This is about hour 17.
All right, hour 17. Jerry's upset about a speaker. I believe it's a feedback speaker.
Good.
And here he is, talking about a woman's private parts.
You're sitting on my speaker.
Now, leading the delegation, here's our pal, Al Whitehead.
Thank you. Don't say nothing yet, Al. One second. All right, give me a wide shot of my podium here in this area. Mr. Whitehead will wait just a moment. Give me a wide shot here showing what I have here, okay? You see what we have here? We have a monitor so that I can see the people that are coming up to talk to me. Alongside of the monitor, notwithstanding the hours that I have to be aware of, we have this large speaker. This speaker helps me hear the people that I'm conferring with. Now, over here we have a stage manager. This young lady has been sitting on the speaker, and I'm wondering why I can't hear the people talking to me. Because they're talking through her legs and up her place. Would you get off this?
Oh, my.
Up her place. But he's just a little mad there in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Now listen,
the diva, Jerry Lewis.
Right. Because he's got so much going on.
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
So many things that I've got to figure out.
Not only do I have to keep track of the hours,
up her place, Carrot Top.
This is also the second year now. He takes a break now. He doesn't do all 21 hours now.
Oh, really?
He takes off like 5 hours and leaves it to Kevin Meaney, which just can't suck enough.
Oh, Kevin Meaney. Oh, yeah. Is Kevin Meaney the guy in training?
Is he the heir apparent?
Yeah, but he's bad.
It's going to be Kevin Meaney's kid?
And then I think there's a guy named Max Roach. He's a fat comic with a goatee.
What about
Bobby Ed?
I thought Chad Everett was next in line for that gig. Or Casey Kasem.
Chad Everett deserves that gig, man.
Well, Casey Kasem used to host the L.A. leg when the show was in Vegas, but now it's in L.A., so and Eddie Rabbit is gone, so I don't even know what's going to happen.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know so much about that, Rob.
Jerry.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this is Houston. Listen, what happened right at the end of the show? It was like the last 5 minutes.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, Jerry had a problem. It was like somebody rushed him or something, and these strong-arm guys...
Let's turn it over to our expert. He'll give you the analysis of what happened at the end of the show.
Rob?
He was doing the 4% speech, which you do have a highlight of.
Okay.
But I cut out this because it's too visual. A guy just, like, ran behind him and looked like he was about to do something. No good, Nick. But two guys got him out of the way.
No good, Nick.
And then he said...
You notice how when Rob is explaining this, he uses Jerry speak to... he wasn't a bad guy.
That's because the inner government tells him to do that.
Exactly.
He was a no good, Nick.
He was a no good, Nick.
He's just trying to be politically correct.
Mm-hmm. No, but they got him out of the way, and Jerry Lewis referred to him as a bad guy, one of the 4%.
Oh,
and,
okay.
They
all right. Hence the 4% speech.
Exactly.
All right, that's a tape that's coming up.
Good.
Thank you, sir.
So anyway, I just wanted to find out what it was. Thanks a lot. You guys keep up the good work.
Thank you.
See ya.
He's here every year for us.
Carrot Top.
He's my Carrot Top. Just let me hear the Carrot Top intro again.
This guy comes to us every year, and he's worth it. It's worth a year to wait to see him. He's bright, innovative, and terrific and funny, and a wonderful human being. Please welcome Carrot Top. Here he is.
Oh, God damn it. I could sit there and listen to that tape all day long.
Hey!
Carrot Top. There he is right here. He's here for me every year.
And the sound's going up her legs and over her place.
You guys have been a lot of fun. Please call and send some money. Thank you.
Hey, kid.
Hey, kid.
You did too short a turn.
Huh?
You just...
Mouth of Altoids.
You
did me. No.
You're there every year for me.
Hey, when he said he bit him. Hey, Rob, when he said he bit him, did he get a kiss? Did Carrot Top get a kiss?
There was a fake kiss.
Okay.
Oh, that I know behind all this idiocy beats the heart of a wonderful young man.
Oh, that's nice.
And we're delighted to have you on the show.
Well, thank you.
And we know you're going to keep continuing doing all great stuff, and we wish you the best.
Well, thank you very much. And I like coming here. It's a lot of fun. Makes me feel good about here.
Thank you, Carrot Top.
Bye, guys.
I thought Carrot Top had muscular dystrophy.
I guess not.
Carrot Top. Right, he's here for me every year.
Jerry's getting into that, it seems year after year, he's getting up into that Bob Hope register there. You know,
here he comes, yeah. You know,
it used to be he'd tweak that up, but now he sounds like that all the time.
That's right.
Carrot Top.
Carrot Top.
Carrot Top.
There's his headliner.
What hour was Carrot Top in?
Hour 18.
Oh, hour 18. Well, it was way back
was
there.
It was in the final 3 hours.
Oh, I forgot. That's right.
The kill.
In the telephone.
The kill.
Oh, Rob.
Did you wear a tuxedo when you watched it?
No, I was naked.
He was naked.
The kill. Final 3 hours of the kill?
Yeah.
Yeah, they go in for the kill. That's the kill, getting those numbers up, right, Rob?
What is the opening hours called? What are the opening hours called?
The opening hours, I guess.
No, but the kill is the final 3 hours.
Right.
And that's when the no good Nick came in, too, right?
he wasn't marvelous.
Thank you, my friend.
Coming out of her place.
Her place, yelling at a stage hand.
Out of her place.
Did you guys see MC Hammer earlier?
Yeah.
He's going to be back. He was so hot.
He's marvelous.
Marvelous Hammer.
Okay.
Marvelous.
Hold on. Let's do a break. We'll come back. We have a tape of Jerry blithering.
Right.
Ooh.
Another tape of Jerry blithering. Rob says this is just an odd, pointless speech.
Well, it has a point, but it's very creepy.
Oh, okay. Is it Jerry speak?
A little bit.
Okay. Then the 4% speech.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the annual tape of Charo, Coochie Coochie,
right.
Not funny.
Okay.
Ed McMahon, very drunk. And then finally, we'll goof on Jerry singing and crying.
Jerry.
We'll be right back. Carrot Top. Right here.
Be right back.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, that's you and your family's radio gods.
Hi there. Hello.
Yeah, you were talking about the Jerry Lewis telethon, and they flew me in from Vegas to perform, and I sang a few songs. The 4:15 Pia Zadora hour I was on.
The Pia Zadora, is that a good hour, Rob? The Pia Zadora hour?
No, that means
overnight. I didn't see.
Oh, that was overnight. Middle of the night.
I was on in the middle of the morning, just before right after they came back.
So, what did you sing, sir?
Two original songs off my album, so.
Well, what's your name? Are you a famous guy? You must not be if you're calling our show.
No, just the Star Search reject that they put on, you know, but nobody was there. They pre-taped all those people that were on. They had a lot of people calling up and canceling, a lot of celebrities, unfortunately.
Wow.
So they put on people like me, secondhand talent.
Maybe that's why Carrot Top got his ass kissed so much.
Absolutely, because he was at least somebody that had a name.
Yeah,
it was. I got there, and there was a big old metal detector before you could walk in there to do your thing. I don't know what they were afraid of. But
did you wear a tuxedo?
No, I didn't. I wore a suit.
I wonder who canceled out so that they could call you.
Drew Carey canceled at the last moment.
You were a replacement for Drew Carey.
Well, they wouldn't have had Drew Carey on at 4 in the morning, though, would they?
No. Well, they pre-recorded all the celebrities, but Drew Carey was one person. They had several people that canceled out. Several.
And you were just in the wings and they brought you on?
No, I was a planned guest. I knew about it for some time.
You know, that's so interesting. I haven't heard that celebrities drop out of that. You know, that's got to be the worst PR for them.
Absolutely.
Obviously, they want to keep that quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. They had a lot of just a lot of talent I've never heard of, including myself.
So. I wonder if like Drew Carey like did it on an answering machine. He goes, "Hello, beep," and he goes, Jerry, it's Drew. Gee, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to make the telethon this year.
I love the show, babe.
Kevin Meaney was the host when I was on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on from 4 to 8 in the morning.
I'll tell you something, if that is, you know, as much as we slam Jerry Lewis on this show, Kevin Meaney, that is just the wrong choice as the heir apparent for Jerry Lewis.
He was really nice. He was really, really nice.
Andy Richter. Now, there's the logical choice to replace Jerry Lewis.
Oh, the guy from Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, I'm an Andy Richter fan.
Andy Richter doesn't care. I mean,
I know he doesn't.
So he wouldn't be. You got to get a jive in. What about, like,
you got to get somebody jive.
Chuck Woolery.
Chuck Woolery, game show host, could be a possibility.
Tom Kennedy. Peter Marshall.
Alex Trebek.
No.
Here's a trivia question. You remember the name of Peter Marshall's son who played Major League Ball for the Cubs?
Mr. Pete LeCocq. Pete LeCocq, Kansas City Royals.
Very good.
And for the Cubs.
And he played for the Cubbies for a while.
Pete LeCocq up right now. Count 0-2. LeCocq with a swing. LeCocq hits it out of the park.
I didn't know he played for the Cubs. That, what a great name for Harry Carey to say, though.
Pete LeCocq.
LeCocq stands in. There's the pitch from Austin Mock.
Jerry Lewis telephone.
Okay, I have something I have to tell you really quick. When I did the first song, I was ready to leave, and we were ready to leave the building, and they called me back because somebody canceled. So Kevin Meaney didn't have any kind of introduction, and this is what he gave me for a professional introduction the second time. You ready for this? Listen to this.
Oh, do you have it on tape? Okay,
yeah,
good.
Here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're bringing them back by popular demand. You know him, you can't live without him. He's Mark O'Toole.
Now... Now, what kind of intro is that?
Yeah, you're right. Pretty lame, man.
That is pretty lame. Absolutely. Yeah.
Pretty lame.
I mean, I was like, what the... I go, and I'm backstage going, okay, he's going to say something about my career or whatever.
Just
you
know,
you love him. Boy, was that original, you know? It was very funny.
Well, to be honest, what could he have said about your career?
Well, a lot, actually. I did a lot. But
all right, well,
okay.
Write the intro. How would you introduce yourself? Again, I mean, really, and do it the way you would like to hear it come out of Jerry's mouth.
Here he is, folks, from Las Vegas,
Nevada. I just say from Las Vegas, Nevada, a former Star Search winner. He's been syndicated in radio and blah, 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 you know.
We need more than just blah, blah, blah.
Hey, there
and he's a great... this is what I was going to do, and this is the truth. I was going to, and I was going to try to talk to you, but last week you were off the air, and I didn't know how to get in touch with you.
Hey, is this Sam Harris?
I hold up.
Are you Sam Harris?
I'm sorry?
Are you Sam Harris?
I'm way over the rainbow.
You remember that fruitcake?
Don and Mike, hello, son. I really was, you guys.
There he is, winner for 12 weeks in a row, Sam Harris.
Sam with his baggy tuxedo pants. Come out and wow him, Sam.
And Sinbad before he became orangey.
Sinbad, and here's a trivia question. Who did Sinbad beat on Star Search?
Rosie O'Donnell?
No.
No.
Another famous, very famous comedian. Very, very famous. As famous as Sinbad.
Well, Sinbad's not very famous. Give me another hint.
He's more, in a way, to us, he probably is more famous than
Denny
Sinbad.
Jones was on there.
And comedically, he is the opposite of Sinbad.
So he's funny.
Yes.
Who was it?
I'm drawing a blank. Who was it?
Dennis Miller.
Wow. Dennis Miller was on Star Search?
Dennis Miller always talks about it, that he lost to Sinbad on Star Search.
Ed kept bringing up a whole bunch of stuff about Star Search, like Leanne Rimes was a Star Search loser. Carrot Top, Star Search loser.
Wow. Carrot Top.
And rightly so.
That's Star Search territory right there.
All right, Mark. Well, listen, thank you for your time. And
hey, I love you guys.
Thanks for the insight. Let us hear a little bit of what you sang in the middle of the night.
Okay. I sure will.
Yeah, play the tape.
Okay.
No, I mean, sing it live.
Oh, you want to sing it on your
belt?
Oh, yeah,
please. Yeah, here. Hold on for a second. Hold on. Let me just rewind it here. I got it up.
Well, why don't you just sing something live for us?
What? Live? No way. Here you go. This is one of my originals. It was pretty good, actually.
Imagine that. They're so hard-pressed for talent on the Jerry Lewis telephone that a guy like this could just get on and do original material.
It's pretty unique. Isn't the audio quality great?
What do you think?
I mean,
you can't really hear it through the TV, but...
Yeah.
Don't say it, okay? That's why I lost in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut up, you guys.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
I love you guys. Bye.
We love you. Thank you, Mark. Goodbye.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, as you know, the San Diego Zoo is one of the finest zoos in the world, and we've had this young lady on the show very often the past, I guess, 7 or 8 years she's been appearing with
us. About 9 years. About 9 years.
Right, yeah. Several plus several will be about nine.
You said 7 or 8.
No, I didn't say 7 or 8. I said several.
Then you said 7 or 8, and I said nine.
Yes. Nine, good, thank you.
Some of the animals you had as babies are now 10 years old.
That would be about right.
Remember the animals that did something funny on your tie?
Yes.
Those little lions, the little baby lions, were 1 year old.
That's right.
They are now treacherous and ferocious 10-year-old animals.
Okay. Anyway, Joan Embry is here tonight.
And she's now 32.
That's right. Joan is an animal handler and a trainer. And you really think you're fooling everybody, don't you?
No.
And she also...
I'm just here to do my best to help you.
I know that. And she does her 3 horse shows a day. Did you know that? At the animal park.
Boy.
What?
What an exciting idea.
Would you like an army cot or something, maybe? Kind of catch up on a little, little nappy poo? Just might snap you right out of it. Okay.
I love Joan. I'm the only one who went down to see Joan. Doc has never seen her. You've never seen her. I went to the wild animal farm.
It's all right. Okay.
But you're upsetting me.
No, I don't want to upset you.
I went down, Joan, and I
know you did. That's all right.
Don't say...
What?
I know her. I went down there.
Oh, I know you did. I know you went down there. And
I held a baby gorilla.
I couldn't go with you that week. You held a baby gorilla. Good. All right. And let's get her out here quickly. Wish you welcome, Joan Embry.
The Don and Mike Show. Cleansing your ears with a verbal enema. Don and Mike.
It's Friday the 13th. I'm not content to be with you.
Jerry Lewis telephone tapes.
These are fantastic.
Okay, we haven't been let down yet. Here's an odd speech by Jerry that includes an awkward pause.
Okay, Jerry has a tendency just to pull words out of his head that don't make any sense, and that's when I think he's at his best.
Jerry rhymes with Larry.
Jerry and Larry.
And Gary.
And Barry.
And Mary.
And Scary.
Scary's not a name, though.
No. You're king of the game.
The Airy.
Yeah. You're king of the Aries.
King of the Aries. Hey, all you Aries.
Harry.
Okay. He's one of mine now.
Oh, that's right.
Harry. Okay, awkward speech. Here we go.
I know that. I just wanted to have Jerry take the moment there and see how he felt. Kind of special.
I'm glad that you did, Ed. I was asleep at the switch. I'm sorry.
No.
Don't blame Ed, Debbie. That was my turn.
No. I'll tell you what, Jerry. In that.
Wait. Let me make the point.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What I need to say to you is something I've never said to you as an audience who've grown up with me, and who have hung in there with me for these many decades. I just thought of this wild thought that. You can be on television. You, the viewer...
He's way out there.
Yeah, ...can be on this telethon.
You sound asleep.
There's a requisite involved. You need to have a dystrophic child. How's that?
Is that Hold on. Let me stop that for a second. What he just said is, you can be on the telethon if your kid has muscular dystrophy. Is that what he just said?
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah. And did you hear the silence in the auditorium?
A little awkward.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
A little awkward, Jerry.
Oh, boy.
That 4%.
I don't think so. Oh. Not even being on television would be terrific if the reason you got on it was because you had a dystrophic child.
What? Oh, he's trying to... That was trying to save his ass.
Yeah, because he's just... And he's making it up word by word.
All right. You can be on TV... If your kid is crippled.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Of course, that would be a bad thing if your kid was crippled.
Yeah. Jerry.
Oh, that's a good speech.
That's a good speech.
I'd like to hear that one again. Would you mind? How long is the recue on that, Rob?
It should be about 20 more seconds, if that.
20 more seconds.
On 100.
19. 18. There it is.
Ready.
All right, let's hear it again.
I know that. I just wanted to have Jerry take the moment there and see how he felt.
What hour was this, Rob?
Kind of special.
20.
Hour 20.
I'm glad that you did, Ed.
Sounds like it.
I was asleep at the switch. I'm sorry.
No.
Don't blame Ed, Debbie. That was my turn.
No. I'll tell you what, Jerry. In that.
Wait. Let me make the point.
Yes, sir.
Okay. what I need to say to you is something I've never said to you as an audience who've grown up with me and who have hung in there with me for, lo, these many decades. I just thought of this wild thought that you can be on television. You, the viewer, can be on this telethon. There's a requisite involved. You need to have a dystrophic child. How's that? Is that okay? I don't think so. Not even being on television would be terrific. The reason you got on it was because you had a dystrophic child.
There's the point. God, wow. Jerry!
Wow.
I say that that wasn't the point. I say no, that he's just going off the top of his head and trying to cover his ass.
And that's exactly what he was doing.
Huh? Oh, my gosh.
Jerry, this might be the best year ever for Jerry tapes.
Jerry, Jerry, Jerry.
There hasn't been a loser tape yet.
What else do we have?
That's a good speech.
You don't want to hear that one again?
No.
Okay, here's...
All right, well, I'll play it again later.
Play it. Put it on a tape so Doc can listen to it in his car.
Well, come on, man. That's like so awkward that's funny. Come on.
Oh, man.
If it makes you feel awkward, that means it's good.
Which is my recipe for success.
Yeah. All right, here's Jerry blithering.
Okay?
Simply blithering.
All right.
Flapping his lips.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Arsenio Mitchell, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome them for thanking us. Let's welcome for thanking us. That's good. Let's welcome them for thanking us. Did you hear this? You see, you people think that what we do, we are professionals, and you must understand that what we do is because we're professionals. We come out here, and we should be articulate, and sometimes, in the heat of the moment, you'll say something like I just said. Let's welcome they're leaving us. I don't know where that comes from. See, but I don't worry that you didn't hear the mistake because I know that there's 75 or 80 million people that heard it. So I'm just clarifying it. Oh, how do you get out of this?
Wow.
I like that very end there. Oh, gee.
Everyone's a winner.
All right, here's Jerry blithering part two.
Two-part blither.
The blither continues.
The King and I is back on Broadway, and no surprise, it's a smash. We're lucky enough to have one of the stars, Victor Talmadge, here to sing with our sweetheart, Maureen McGovern. I don't know how I...
Let me just say, you know it sucks when Maureen McGovern is coming out. Am I right?
You know, it's just a toss-up. Maureen McGovern and Carrot Top. My God.
Maureen McGovern is a regular.
Ah, yes.
And she's hosted WOR's feed in New York, too. So she's everywhere.
There's the trivia expert, Rob Spiewak.
Thank you, Rob.
All right, back to the blithering.
I don't know how you feel. I don't know how I feel. I'll show you how I feel. The point of the matter is, I haven't been feeling myself lately. I didn't say that on television, did I? Honest to God.
Television.
Hey, I could be on Geraldo Friday. I don't know how I feel. I do know how I feel. Ladies and gentlemen, I hear Dr. Kuhn. He's laughing his bananas off because I get screwed up. My crew loves nothing more than to see me go in the dumper. They wait all night for when I go in the dumper. Look at these faces on these people here.
And he's lashing out.
Silence.
Start all over again.
Yeah, I really think I should, Ed.
Why don't you? Yeah.
This is too important, and we got two people here who are going to melt.
That's right. They've already fallen into the cushions.
Okay.
Why don't you start again? Jerry, tell us what's on your mind.
Okay, here are two cushions.
Oh, loyal Ed. That's good. An idiot being led by a drunk. Right?
Jerry, let's start over again. All right, Ed.
And I don't know how I feel with the thing.
Damn.
I can't hear it on her place. Carrot Top, right here.
Ladies and gentlemen, the wonderful Maureen McGovern and Victor Talmadge.
God. Oh, my God.
All right, we have to do a break. We're not done yet.
We're just building up to the big crescendo.
Ah, yes, when Jerry gets a little emotional.
Our annual tribute to Jerry Lewis will continue in a moment. Okay, we'll be right back. Okay, let's finish up with the Jerry Lewis telethon tapes.
So many great ones.
Now we have, do we have Ed who's getting a little slurry on this?
That's the finale.
Is that the grand finale?
It's either that or Jerry singing and crying.
Oh, and you'll never walk alone.
All right, this is just an annual ritual, okay?
Okay.
Charo.
Oh,
just because she's so bad.
And that, she's got to be, what, 90 now?
Oh, fuggly. Just fuggly. Imagine Charo naked just from the belly button down.
All right.
Okay, here's Charo and her yearly very unfunny sketch. That was fun.
To barely the school to practice better pronunciation because everybody say that I talk like the Chihuahua in television. You know, yo quiero Gucci Gucci. And I am going to tell you that many years ago, I brought you the lambada
yes,
for the first time.
That's correct.
And then 2 years ago,
and I
brought
rid of
you the
like
macarena.
A month later. It was so annoying. You couldn't sit in the car with it. Did you ever have the lambada? It's like chafing.
You did it very good. You were dancing very good with me.
Pedero y Oviada Cotoras.
Excuse me? What was that, Jerry?
Wow. What?
By the way, we got now, the Latino, we got the internet. W.
What about the Jews?
Yeah.
What about the Jews?
I'm telling you how, what to do for go to the internet worldwide. Latino y Españoles. www.mdausa.order. Hey! Hey!
Yahoo!
All right, that's just kind of an annual ritual. We always got to play.
Is that giving you a little headache there?
Yeah, we got to play a little Charo. It's like drinking a Slurpee very fast. All right, now here's Jerry's 4% speech.
Okay, okay. Yeah, the 4%. Okay. These are the people that don't like what he does.
Right.
Right. The annual speech where he says the, well, I'll let him say it, Jerry Lewis.
And I guess what I have found out about the human condition was right. We hear about people in the paper that do terrible things, and there are 4% in this country that do terrible things. Meanwhile, there's 96% of this country that does what you did tonight. Why don't we put you people on the front page of the New York Times?
Patronizing bastard.
Here's what I don't know.
How come we're the only guys that critique the muscular dystrophy telethon like this every year? Mm-hmm. How come we're the only guys that notice that he blithers? How come we're the only guys that notice he has carrot top on?
That he exploits?
How come we're the only guys that notice that he says, I got a wild idea how you can be on TV if right. your kid has muscular dystrophy?
Yeah, right. I mean, we're the only ones that talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're the 1%. We're the only ones that laugh at Jerry's seriousness. Jerry. Oh, and did we mention we question Jerry's motives, everyone?
Really?
Just a little
bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Just a wee bit.
We question his sincerity.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Why don't they print on the New York Times front page what you've done tonight? Why do we hear about the wacko kids, the stupid conduct, the teenage idiots, which are only 4%? There's 96% young people studying to be the scientists that will cure diseases like this.
Just let me say something else. I believe the number's much higher than 4%.
Yeah.
At least based on this show?
Yes.
I think it's at least 40%.
Yeah, perhaps. Yes, perhaps 40% of the country out there. Not 4.
Why don't we put that on the front page of the New York Times?
See his research.
Kids that do the right thing start to get a little annoyed that nobody knows they're around.
Yay! Hey.
So what happened here tonight, the human condition says we've got war, we've got famine, we've got troubles. We also have wonderful human beings.
Phony.
Big phony.
He blows all right. He blows big time.
All right. Do you want to hear him sing or do you want to hear Ed drunk?
I want to hear Ed drunk.
Yeah. All right. This is the final timpani.
I would have wanted to hear him sing if you didn't play the Charo tape.
Okay. Now, this is the last timpani when Ed says you always want $1 more.
This is Ed's big moment.
Right.
Hasn't Ed recently, in recent years, hasn't he begun to screw this moment up with regularity?
Yeah, he started to deteriorate like a sandcastle on the beach when the tide is coming
right,
in.
Sure. This is Ed's big moment, and it appears recently to have been too much for him.
And if you could smell Ed's breath right now, Distillery Central.
Absolutely.
Listen, you tell me if you think he's bombed or not. Here you go.
Sure.
Well, here we are. You always tell me you like to get $1 more than last year?
Yes.
Well, if I got good news for you. What's roll that? It.
He's just rambling now.
Last year was 57.50.055. So you got 58.71.225.
Hey, Ed.
How's that? That's more than a dollar.
Party time.
All right. I'll be over here if you need me.
Okay, laying down.
Thank you, Ed.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that more than a dollar?
I'll be over here if you need me. On the couch. On the couch, you phony jerk.
I think we got to rehear that one more time.
I hate calling you Sir Jerry.
My teeth are coming out.
Oh, man. Star Search was better than any of your damn movies with Dean.
Johnny.
Johnny's
anal polyps.
Johnny crapped on me for all those years. I gotta come here once a year and take it from you. Greasy hair. I'll be over here if you need me, Jerry.
Phony, I got a wild idea. How you can get on TV?
Yeah, you know what you're talking about, Jerry.
Carrot Top.
I'll be over here if you need me, Mr. Lewis. You got more? $1 more than last year.
Sir.
I know.
And listen when he says the numbers, the final tone. He doesn't say like 8 million.
Right.
He just goes 7054926.
1-300-AM.
Sure? Well, here we are. You always tell me you like to get $1 more than last year?
Yes.
Well, if I got good news for you, roll it. Last year was 57.50.055. You got 58.71.225.
Huh?
How's that? That's more than a dollar. All right. I'll be over here if you need me.
He collapses.
You tell me he's not pounded right there.
He collapses.
57.8236.
I'll be over here if you need me. You take it all. You take it away from here, you big Nimrod.
Would you noodle for me, Tommy? Would you take the lights down, Olin? I know you don't like to, but in this case, I really hope you can. It will help me tremendously, Olin. I think he's got stock in Duracell, to be very honest with you. When you walk through a storm, keep your head up high. And don't be afraid
Phony
of
baloney.
The dark. Shelley, listen.
Shelley!
At the end of the storm
is Carrot Top.
Sky.
When does he have the fake tears? Coming up?
Okay. Silver song of a lark. Walk on through the rain. Walk on through the wind, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never, never walk alone.
McGuire showed more real emotion last night.
Good night.
Good night, Jerry.
God bless you all.
Good night. I got a wild idea.
I'm Jerry, and Ed will be over here if you need him.
All right, I want to hear the awkward speech one more time.
Okay?
Yes.
And then we'll be done with this. Just to make the point.
All right.
Just in case anybody just got in their car and heard us goofing on Jerry Lewis singing and going, oh, you guys are awful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen to this. This is why we're awful.
I know that. I just wanted to have Jerry take the moment there and see how he felt. Kind of special.
I'm glad that you did, Ed. I was asleep at the switch. I'm sorry.
No.
Don't blame Ed, Debbie. That was my turn.
No. I'll tell you what, Jerry. In that.
Wait. Let me make the point.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
What I need to say to you is something I've never said to you as an audience who've grown up with me and
listen
who hung in there with me for lo these many decades.
Listen, everybody.
I just thought of this wild thought that you can be on television. You, the viewer, can be on this telethon. There's a requisite involved. You need to have a dystrophic child. How's that?
Great, Jerry.
Is that okay?
No, try to save that.
So. Not even being on television would be terrific. If the reason you got on it was because you had a dystrophic child.
All right.
So,
Jerry.
Jeez,
Jerry. I had a wild idea.
Yeah, I'm going to make this up as I go along.
About how you could be on TV. And you notice after he makes the big statement, you know, if your kid has muscular dystrophy, there's just...
Yeah, because the audience in a state of complete and total confusion.
Shock.
And then he pulls it out at the very end.
Well, that's right, because he's such a great showman.
Oh, absolutely.
And he cares right here from his ticker.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's our review of the fabulous telethon this year.
Best ever.
Yeah. Way to go, Rob. Way to document all of that.
Best ever, don't you think?
Yeah.
Which one do you want to hear one more time? The Carrot Top intro or Ed Drunk?
I'd like to hear Ed Drunk again.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
That's I've got a soft place in my heart for that.
One last time, and then we'll move on.
Are you sure?
Well, here we are. You always tell me you like to get $1 more than last year.
Yes.
Well, have I got good news for you.
What?
Roll it.
He's so hammered.
Last year was 57.50.055. So you got 58.71.225.
What?
How's that? That's more than a dollar. All right. I'll be over here if you need me.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ed. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Please join me on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. May be an array of international stars and celebrities from all over from the world. Hi, this is Barry White. Please join me on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That is Saturday and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. For the first thing. To a weekend in Texas on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th in Waco, Texas. I'm cutting the f*** out, Tony. Jesus. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invite you to a weekend in Texas on Friday, Saturday, one more time. Invites you to a weekend in Waco, Texas, Saturday and Sunday. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a weekend in Texas on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a weekend in Waco, Texas, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. This gala weekend will include the welcoming of celebrities, reception on Friday, the first, second, and third round of tennis tournament. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a weekend in Texas on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. One more time. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a weekend in Waco, Texas. Welcoming celebrities, some reception on Friday. Let's take it after the 8th, 9th, and 10th. Okay? Do it over. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a beautiful weekend in Waco, Texas on Friday. This ass these words up, man. I mean, he's got words that he don't even need. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a beautiful weekend in Waco, Texas, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. This gala weekend will include the welcoming celebrity reception on Friday, the first, second, and third rounds of the tennis tournament, the Barry White concert with the Love Unlimited Orchestra, of course, and the post-concert reception on Saturday. And a championship semi-finals. F*** this, man. I'm going to cut this off. All right, f*** this. I'm going to take it up to concert Love Unlimited Orchestra. That's where I'm going to stop at. So get your tickets now. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College, and cordially invite your ass to come on down. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College cordially invites you to a beautiful weekend on Friday, Saturday, just a bit. Hi, this is Barry White, and Paul Quinn College,
The Don and Mike Show. They're more soothing than a pair of buttery soft moccasins. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
It is a double header.
Wow. All right. Hi.
Let's welcome.
How are you? Yeah, good to be here.
Ray Romano.
Hi.
Everybody loves Raymond.
Yeah. How are you? Thank you, you know, for supporting the show. I really appreciate that. You're all great. And hi, Don. I've been on the show before, and I brought a friend with me.
Did you bring him?
Yeah. Robert, come over here.
Hey. Hello.
Hey, Robert. How are you?
I'm Raymond's brother, Robert.
Oh, that's cool.
It's good to see you. How are you?
Will you say it? Say the thing that you say?
Yeah. Everybody loves Raymond.
Oh.
Yeah, he's really talented. I think he's great for the show.
I agree. I really do agree. Raymond, you're fantastic, too.
Yeah, it's me, Ray.
Me, Robert.
But you guys have a good time here.
Yeah, we are.
You guys are not brothers in real life, correct?
No.
No.
But, you know, the way we'd like to do this, you know, if you hopefully have some questions for us about the show and everything, you know, we can go back and forth.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, how about, here's my first question.
Who are you going to ask a question of first? Are you going to ask a question of Raymond?
Well, it's his show, so I guess I'll ask him first.
Of course. He has the family. I'm the cop. I'm gay. That's the way it always
is. Oh, now, that's something that is not documented on the show. Are you gay in real life?
Inchworm, measuring the marigolds.
Hey, he's a great singer, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good.
Your wife is hot, Raymond.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's different. Really. I wish she was my wife, all the time. But, in the fictitious world, of TV sitcoms, that's the way it works. She's a hottie. Yeah.
I agree.
You know, we...
I'm not really gay.
We were in California about a year ago doing that CBS promotional thing.
Oh, were you now?
Yeah, and...
Hey, give him the microphone to me. He's talking to me.
All right, cool you, Jeff.
No. He's right. I was talking to both of you.
All right. You talking to both of
us? I was talking to both... Yeah. Robert, you can speak as much as Raymond speaks.
Thank you. I told you, Raymond.
All right. Come
as
on,
a matter
back
of fact,
off, for God's sake.
Maybe at some point during the show, you guys would like to team up and sing a duet for us.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that would be a real challenge.
I'd be willing to do that. I have a great singing voice. Yeah, I do.
Inchworm. Measuring the marriage. Golds,
yeah.
I'm not as good a singer as Robert is.
Thank you.
So, we're in California.
Yes.
And they were bringing by stars of shows, and they brought by the lady who plays your mom, Doris Roberts, right?
Doris, our mother. She's beautiful, isn't she?
Yeah, and you know the problem? At the time,
yes.
None of us watched the show Everybody Loves Raymond, so we had no idea she was.
Why not? Why didn't you watch the show?
Well, what?
Raymond, come over to the microphone, please.
Listen, I'll answer
that. Why don't you watch the show? Come on, it's a great show.
What network?
You guys on? CBS.
Okay.
Oh,
what?
I get it. CBS humor. That's what you want to do is CBS jokes. That's okay. We can relate to that. But it's a hit now, right?
Yes, yeah, and yeah. We watch it now. Oh, it's yeah. A staple now. Yeah, we watch it.
That's a major hit. It's really a big, big hit. Yes. Oh, yes, it is. Everybody loves Raymond.
You know, if they ever did a remake of The Munsters, man, you would be an excellent Herman Munster.
Fred Gwynne was a god to me. He really was. Fred Gwynne was such a god to me. I loved him on all of his shows. Sure. Fantastic talent. You know, I remember when I was...
Hey, come on.
Hey,
are you
going to
give
talk.
Your whole bio or something like that?
Let him talk.
Excuse me. I'd like to... Can I point something out here?
Yes.
I'm the star, Ray Romano. You know me. I'm on the show. Yeah. Let's ask a few questions about the lead character,
okay.
Please.
All right.
All
here
right.
You go.
All right, smarty pants.
So we didn't watch the show a year ago. Now we watch it.
Be that way, a-hole.
Wow.
Hey, that's uncalled for. You don't have to talk to me like that.
It's real.
I'm your brother. I can speak to you any way I want. Go ahead, Don.
Raymond?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Gets momentarily confusing in the studio with the hot lights and all.
Raymond, the last time that you were on Low Budget Jeopardy, I believe that...
I had a great time. I wanted to tell you that.
Right when we were getting into saying Good Bush.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh,
and,
yeah, Bueno Arbusto.
And you ended up saying it with us, remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Nice Bush.
Right.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was a fine segment. And I remember thinking about that, Good Bush. Bush. Nice Bush. Robert would like to play that game.
Robert, would you like to say it?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Come on, give it a try.
I don't know. I don't think it would be very becoming, but I think I'll stand up because I sound better.
Give it a try.
Nice Bush.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
thank you.
Like
thank you all very much.
As you know, in Spanish, that's Bueno Arbusto.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bueno Arbusto is the way they say it over there. And you got us to do that. I mean, me to do that,
yeah, we
right?
got you to do that when you were here on the show last
bueno
time.
Bueno Arbusto.
And when we see your wife,
right, yeah.
When we see your wife, Deborah, on the show.
You say nice Bush Bueno Arbusto.
To her, because she's cute.
I find that wonderful. I think that's great. You guys have a lot of talent. That's great. Nice Bush. Oh, everybody loves Raymond. Man, oh man, nice Bush. Everybody loves Bush.
Hey, all right, shock jock. Yeah. Here we go.
Thank you, Raymond.
Thank you, Robert.
On that show, how come your wife creams her hands so much? Not that I'm complaining. That's one of my favorite parts of the show.
All right. She creams her hands because, you know, we thought that the producers and I would throw in something where... By creaming her hands, you know, it would add a little, sexuality. And
yeah.
I think it works. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, it's obvious. You know, you're running a situation comedy. We're all turned on by your show.
Touche. Touche. I think she's fabulous. She really is. And I could watch her cream her hands every night. So could Raymond.
So you know what we'd say about Deborah, right?
Yeah, we would say a nice Bush. You guys are hot.
You gotta say,
right
gotta
now.
Say that. Now your brother Raymond, repeat
all
it for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, he's a little slow. Let me
nice.
Say.
I'm not slow.
Yeah, he's a little slow.
No, I'm not slow.
Nice
Bush. Robert, look, work with me. Nice Bush.
All right. Nice Bush.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I think I'm getting the hang of it now. Inchworm, everybody loves Raymond.
Yeah, you're all right. You're okay. You're hanging in there. Way to go.
Now, let me ask you a question of you, the tall guy.
The tall guy, Robert. Please call me Robert. Call him Raymond.
Robert.
Yes, I'm standing by here.
Now that Jerry Seinfeld has gone off the air.
Jerry Seinfeld, who?
Have you found that Ray Romano, his head's getting a little bigger because now he's... The number one comedian that's got a situation.
Hey,
comedy.
Hold on! You're trying to your controversy. No, not funny. Why? Why are you doing the controversy? We get along well on the show. You know.
Well,
we
I'd like to know. Let me ask Robert. Has Raymond changed?
Raymond, is there a chance that he could ask me a question, please? Thank you very much. Go ahead, Don. We're simpatico.
Okay. Has Raymond changed? Because, you know, the show is getting all kinds of good pub. A lot of people are saying that he's the new Jerry Seinfeld, that the show is going to be the must-see show.
Yes.
Has Raymond changed?
Of course he has. Success has gone completely to his head. He is no longer the man I once knew. He is no longer the guy that I had in the studio with me, having a wonderful time. He is no longer the friend that I once trusted.
And
he has become a major star, and his attitude basically on the set is, I am the star, leave me alone.
Oh, you are so unfair.
Now, Raymond, let me ask you.
What?
Turnaround is fair play.
All right.
Has Robert since your show's gotten successful, at any point considered him to be perhaps, considered himself to be maybe the next Kramer or George Costanza?
You know, you're putting these questions out, and, you know, it's hard to think of these answers, but I'll tell you, I think he's, I must say he's maintained his equilibrium rather nicely.
Wow. Oh, he has.
Well, I thank you, Raymond. It's very kind of you to say. I'm visibly moved. I am visibly moved. You know, it's a challenge to work on that show. Situation comedies are very challenging, and I find that comment by Mr. Romano to be extraordinarily gifted and generous.
Who has the biggest trailer?
I do. Of course I do.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do.
Now, Ray?
Yeah.
I was reading in... I was reading in a People magazine article, I think, about you.
Yes.
That David Letterman is the guy that gave you your big break, that he put you on the Letterman show.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Are you going to answer for me, or am I going to answer?
I apologize. I thought he was speaking with me.
Well, he wasn't.
All right.
Which one of you guys got the big break from Letterman, the tall guy or the short guy?
I did. I'll jump in here because that question was originally directed towards me,
for
Ray
you,
Romano.
Ray Romano, right.
I did, you know, all right. I did. I got a break from Letterman, and he said, go out there to Hollywood, make the show, have fun, you know, use your comedy. That's why they always say, based on the comedy of Ray Romano, not Robert.
Oh, please. Picky, picky. There's really no need for you to go there. There really is no need, Raymond. You don't need to rub it in. We understand that you are the star.
Okay. I'm glad. I'm glad I was able to establish that.
Now, when they say based on the comedy of Ray Romano...
Yes.
Exactly what do they mean? You were a guy that did stand-up, but now...
I was a stand-up comedian.
You do a show now, though, that's a basic sitcom. A guy with kids and
basic,
a family and
basic,
the brother.
Yes, yes. But all of these situations, you know, mirror my own life, and that's what I bring to the table. And I created the concept of Raymond, and that's, you know, that's why we're...
Oh, it's flying now, isn't it? Listen to the BS, man. Why do you make it sound more important than it is, Raymond?
Robert, let me talk to you.
Fine, thank you. Fine. Could you sit down, Raymond?
Hey, come on.
How tough is it to come up with a concept? Here's the concept.
Yes.
It's a guy who's married with kids. And he's got a brother, and he's got parents that live across the street.
Yeah, talk to me, Doc.
Sounds to me like the format for every other situation comedy on TV. Am I right, Robert? Am I right? Can I tell you something else, Robert?
Yeah.
Show should be.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Robert.
Oh, God bless you.
Hey, that's not fair.
He's not talking to you, Raymond. I will tell you right now that we are actors on a stage. They put lines in our mouth and we read them, and that's what it's all about. Don't let the Slicky Boy over here, you know, add anything more to the equation. That's all that matters to us. We're simply actors performing on a stage. It could be TV, it could be movies, it could be film, it could be anything. But we are on the stage performing. Raymond is like everybody else.
No, I'm not!
Why are you not like anybody else, Raymond?
Because I created the concept of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Wow. No, you didn't, Raymond. There are writers that write the lines, you deliver them.
Exactly my point, Robert. Exactly my point.
Exactly the
point. How many writers on the show, Robert?
Dozens. Dozens of writers, like every other sitcom, in a bungalow, writing comedy every day. Raymond coming in, reading his lines.
Hey, can I speak now?
What?
Is there an outside chance? Can I have the microphone,
Yes,
Robert?
Raymond, take it.
Yes, Picky Boy.
Take it.
All right, I just want to say this, okay? I want to go on the record and say, it's the concept of Everyone Loves Raymond. That's why it's the Everybody Loves Raymond, Ray Romano comedy concept. Okay, I don't write all the lines.
Thank you for being truthful.
Thank you, Robert. I don't write all the lines, but I created the concept, and that's why I am the star of the show. And so if we're going to get, you know, we're going to put the hot glaring lights on me, you should understand one thing, that the damn show was created by me, Ray Romano.
Okay.
Well, I guess Mr. Picky expressed his thoughts, didn't he? I think we're all clear and on the record here, aren't we?
Robert, everybody on the set having these problems with Raymond that you seem to be having with him?
I'm a veteran, Don. I'm a veteran actor, and I can handle this situation like I've handled many more. I can handle a Ray Romano just like I can handle a Liza Minnelli.
Wow. Hey, thanks for the comparison, tall boy.
Could I go as far, Robert, as to say that Raymond is the flavor of the month?
Hey, now just hold on a second. I thought you liked the show.
Oh, I'm
your
a big fan of the show.
Your producer called me and said you liked the show. And
I'm a
you're
big fan of the show.
Talking to this guy over here.
Hold on a second. Let me speak for him for a second.
I said
he's very high-strung, but I do love my job. I enjoy working with Ray Romano.
Hey, okay. Everybody laugh at Raymond, right? Everybody laugh at Raymond. Thank you, Robert. Great job.
My pleasure. Everybody loves Raymond.
Who makes more money?
Oh. He makes tons more cash than I do.
Tons more cash.
Let me explain to you. Character, actor. Character, actor. Mm-hmm. Low pay.
Low pay.
Hey, that's okay. I do make the big bucks. I really do. But we all try to get along, you know. We all get along. We try to like each other and all
Robert,
that.
Robert, is that true? Does Raymond get along with everybody on the show?
Oh, if he says so. If Raymond says so, everybody says so. Isn't that right? Maybe later we'll go out for the colored sugar water. Fantastic.
I understand. You know, he's trying to paint a picture of me that I think is somewhat unfair, but I'm not gonna mince words here. I'm just gonna say I love everybody. All right.
All right. The easiest way is Robert, let me ask you. Last year,
thank you, Don.
Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever holidays it is you celebrate.
Celebrate Robert Day.
What did Raymond give for gifts last year to people on the staff?
Now, Raymond, I'm going to have to answer this question honestly.
No, and look, he's trying to cause trouble. If you want to answer this question, that's fine.
I would like to answer this.
Go ahead.
All right.
What did he give you?
A handshake.
No.
A delightful Ray Romano handshake. Then we all walk to our cars. Some of them more expensive than others, I might add. And we drove to our families and celebrated Christmas together. While Mr. Romano went to his giant house. And had a fabulous meal as we all accepted the reality of Raymond being the star.
You got nothing. Wow.
Okay, screw me already.
You didn't give him any. Now, did Robert give you anything for Christmas?
He didn't. Ah. So that's a little different now when the tables are turned.
He gave you nothing.
I gave him a lovely card. The child that I put in his dressing room. I said, "You're the greatest." Uh-huh. Do you remember this, Raymond? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember.
A card, though. Come on.
A card.
Robert, let's be honest. A card is pretty cheap.
You know, I was embarrassed. I didn't know if I got him something that was not appropriate, he might mimic me or mock me, which he's often wanted to.
Does he mimic you and mock you?
No way. No, no.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Let me hear you mock him, Ray. Let me hear you mock him.
Look, you really
mock your brother.
Causing an enormous amount of distress.
Mock him.
No.
Look, it's so easy to mock him. He's tall.
He's a freak. He's a stinking freak. Uh-huh. He's tall. He's stupid. He's dumb, and he's got a weird voice. That's the only reason he's on the show, because he's like a carnival attraction. Okay.
And now, would you like to mock and ridicule Raymond?
No. I believe I'm going to rise above this.
Good for you.
And let him do this. Hurl your arrows. Slings and arrows.
Very
thank
nice,
you.
Robert.
No, I will not stoop. I can maintain this. The carnival man, the freak, the geek with the funny voice, is now going to accept his reality, and I think we've learned a lot here, haven't we today, Don?
I think so.
We really have.
Yeah, we're learning what you Hollywood stars
hold
are
it,
really like
it,
is what we're
it,
learning here today.
It,
yes,
hold
Ray.
It, hold it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Robert. I didn't mean to offend you.
Well, you did.
I apologize from the bottom of my heart to you, Robert, on the radio show, on this show, publicly.
I'm not sure I want to accept your apology.
And I wouldn't accept it either, Robert, because you know what? I'm looking at Raymond.
Hey, come on!
I don't believe it.
Oh, no, you do!
I don't believe it.
Oh, come on, what am I supposed to do?
And furthermore, Robert, you should mock him. Look at Ray's big nose.
I will not mock.
Look at, he's got a bad haircut.
I will not mock.
For goodness sakes.
Mocking's not in my vocabulary.
Look how puffy he is.
Oh, look at his nose.
Look at that big nose.
Look at his ugly nose.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you're a freak, too.
Look at Raymond's bad complexion.
Bad complexion. Bad teeth. You are an ugly, ugly man. You have no class. You have no dignity. You suck.
Great. You
nice.
Got your wish. Yeah. Everybody's fighting. All
now listen,
conflict. Wow.
We're gonna do what you guys do on your show. Listen.
Turn about and stay and play, Raymond.
This is the transition music.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's for my show.
Right.
Oh, man.
What we're gonna do now is take a break.
This was so stressful.
And when we come back, we'll take the first two callers to play Low Budget Jeopardy at 1-800-636-1067. Can you guys agree on that?
Yeah, I guess so.
Robert, are you up for that?
I think I can manage to come back. I suppose. I forgive and forget. We can turn the other cheek.
Please.
Some cheeks larger than others.
All right, then let's see.
Oh, man.
Circus freak, if you could please shake hands.
Come on, now you're rubbing
pizza face.
You're rubbing salt in the wound. Please don't call him circus. I didn't mean it. I was angry. You riled me up. All right, Robert, shake my hand.
Shake hands, boys, okay?
I'm not sure that's necessary. I'm not sure I want to shake his hand at this moment, perhaps at the end of the program.
All right, maybe then.
All right.
We'll take the first two calls right now for Low Budget Jeopardy.
That's fine with me.
Okay, Ray?
Yeah, it's fine with me.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, my God. Ray, you know, most husbands like cuddling with their wives.
Oh, no, they don't. Nobody likes that. Nobody. The only time a guy likes cuddling is if he thinks it's going to lead to lower cuddling.
The Don and Mike Show.
Va, 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 darling. The Don and Mike Show.
It's Friday the
13th. We're here with Raymond and Robert.
Hi.
From Everybody Loves Raymond. Let Robert speak, for goodness sake.
How are you?
You guys ready for some low-budget Jeopardy fun?
Oh, yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are.
Now, I know as we went to break, there was some argument about who is going to do the majority of the announcing here.
I have a prepared statement, if I could just get to it and get it out of the way. We can
yes.
move along.
Go ahead, Ray.
The show, please.
Okay.
Hi.
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, hold on. Let me pull you in. Ladies and gentlemen. Ray Romano.
Thank you, Don. All right. Hi, this is Ray Romano. A moment earlier on this program, I got very upset and said things I did not mean to my brother Robert. I take back all of those things, and I would like to express my love for my brother and my desire to continue our relationship, both on the show and off.
That's nice.
Well, I believe one person is taking care of things. Now we can move on, and I will be introducing the contestant.
Yeah, thanks. Don't forget, he called you a circus freak.
I understand that, and he's apologized in writing.
Well, you know what? Listen, Raymond, I'm sorry, Robert.
Yes, Doc.
You accept that if you like, but to me...
You don't think I should?
That apology rang as hollow as President Clinton's iPod.
You know, I'll have to give that some consideration.
Okay, troublemaker! Troublemaker!
All right, here we are. Am I ready to read this now?
Yes, please do, Robert.
Greetings, listeners. This is Low Budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is our first challenger. This gentleman is a sales rep from Sacramento. Let's say hi to Doug Rasher.
Hey, Doug. Hello, my friend.
Hey, LQ.
And now...
Hey. Hey, Ray.
What? Hold on. What?
All right. Can I just read this one, please?
No, let Robert finish doing this part of the show, Raymond.
Thank you, Don.
And don't forget, Raymond.
Yeah.
Come on. No, I'm sorry. Robert?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, of course.
Never mind. I'm getting you guys mixed up.
I have got cranial cramp. Now entering the studio is a grocery manager from Rockville. Please welcome the very nice Greg Stevens.
Greg, hey.
Hello, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Hi. Hi, guys.
All right. And now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. Please, Doug and Greg, don't screw with LQ.
Screw with LQ.
All right. And say hi to Alex Trebek Troublemaker Geronimo.
Thank you, Raymond Pizza Face. And hello, Doug, and hello, Greg.
Hey.
All right, now, kids, listen, both of you boys, don't forget to answer the form of a question. I live with my mom, wearing a clip-on tie, suit by Mr. Guy. Call me Alex, unless we're playing the game. Then it's LQ Lord Quizmaster, and always call him Raymond and call him Robert.
All right.
All right.
And here are your categories, kids, and they are...
Yeah.
Movies about the presidency.
Oh, I love movies. Movies are hot, yeah.
Guess the celebrity shoe size.
Is this my chance to talk, Raymond? Shoe sizes are fun.
Spelling bee.
Spelling bee. I stole one there. I can spell better than Raymond.
How many? And states and capitals.
States and capitals.
Okay, so here you go. One more time, guys. Your categories are movies about the presidency.
Yeah.
Guess the celebrity shoe size.
Yeah.
Spelling bee.
All right.
How many?
All right.
States and capitals.
Oh, boy.
And let's see. Doug, you live farther away. We will start with you.
All right. States and capitals for one.
All right, my friend. Don't forget to answer the form of question, please.
I will be keeping score as prearranged with Raven.
That's true. He's going to do the talking during the actual scoring of the contest.
Okay.
If it's all right, if it meets with your approval. Is that all right with you?
Robert, do you notice Raymond running me a bit of an attitude right now?
I certainly do. I certainly do. Attitude coming out of every pore. Every pore exuding attitude. Raymond, an apology for Mr. Geronimo, please.
Thank you, Robert.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I will be quiet, and I will not... I'm sorry. I'm sincere. I apologize.
I'd like it in writing, please.
You are a funny man. That cracked me up. Oh, man. Great stuff.
Okay, here we go. States and capitals, for one. It's the capital of the great state of New Mexico.
What is Santa Fe?
Santa Fe is... Scaramundo.
You're on the board and rolling, Douglas.
States and capitals for two.
It's capital of the great state... I take it back. It's the capital of the so-so state of New Jersey.
Oh, Jersey.
What is...
A stump in the road. All right, Greg, your chance to steal.
Well, I'd say Atlantic City, but what is Trenton?
Well, what is the answer?
What is Trenton?
What is Trenton? Yes. Yes.
A moment of confusion. Greg, you have $2. Select again, please.
Movies about the presidency for 100, please.
No, to finish States and Capital. Raymond, did you know that?
Hey, come on. I knew that, and I'd like to perhaps participate in the game if I could.
States and Capitals for 300,
please. Thank you. Thank you. Robert, if I may.
For a moment.
Oh, wait, listen. How about this?
Yes.
Robert, you finish this category.
Thank you kindly.
Raymond? You take the next one.
All right, that's a deal. I'll do that. Thank
you.
And
Ray, while you're waiting, you know, write me that apology.
All right, I'll get to it right now. Thanks a lot.
For three.
Let's proceed.
It is the capital of the great state of Minnesota.
St. Paul. What is St. Paul?
Was not in the form of a question.
Oh, an error in judgment. Douglas, your chance to steal.
What is St. Paul?
St. Paul, yes.
$3, that's the end of the category. I turn it over to my brother, Ray Romano, and now he will take over.
Thank you, Robert, thank you. All right, thank you, that's the transition music.
Right, a switch from one brother to the other brother.
Now your chance to switch categories, Doug.
Spelling bee, for one.
All right, don't forget now in the form of question, the word sizzle.
Sizzle? What is... F-I-Z-Z-L-E.
No, I didn't say fizzle. I said sizzle.
All right, Greg, your chance to steal.
Could you use it in a sentence, please?
Oh, no. You can't. Don't screw with LQ. That's the rule.
My ass is sizzling right now. Sizzle.
Can I try again?
Sizzle.
No.
Yes. Boy, they're really unruly. Doug, you're in control.
Spelling bee for two.
Spelling bee for two.
You think you could improve your attitude a little bit, Doug?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry,
Mr. LQ.
I think that's valid. All right, Doug, select again, please. Spelling bee for two.
The word is interactive.
What is interactive?
Yes, hooked on phonics. That is correct.
$2 for you, Doug. Go again. Come on.
Spelling bee for three.
The word is cowabunga.
Cowabunga. What is C-O... W-A-B-U-N-G-A.
Yes, sir.
$3. He's doing well. You've got $3. You've taken a big lead, Doug. And now I turn it over to him.
Let's go back to Robert now.
Great to be back with all of you. Let's proceed. Doug, you hold the board.
Shoe size for one.
Guess the celebrity shoe size, okay?
Okay.
News guy, Ted Koppel.
What is... 9.5.
No.
Oh, terribly
sorry about that.
Greg, it's your opportunity to steal.
Well, first of all, LQ, my sincerest apologies for screwing with you. What is 8?
8. No, Ted Koppel, size 10.
I believe Mr. Doug, attention, you have the control of the board.
Shoe size for 2.
Country star Garth Brooks.
What is 11?
Uh-uh.
Gregory.
What is 11.5?
11.5 is correct.
Oh, my goodness, that was a surprise. $2 for you, Greg, and select again, please.
Let's see, celebrity shoe sizes for $3.
There you go, the last question in the celebrity shoe size. The beautiful Marilyn Manson.
What is 12?
12.
No, Doug, your chance to steal. Hurry up, my boy.
What is 10?
10, no.
I'm
Marilyn Manson, 9.5.
Right. Oh. So long, everybody. We'll be back in the next category.
All right, thank you, Robert. All right, that means now, is it Doug? Are you in control? Doug?
Yes.
Are you in control?
All right, yes.
All right, come on.
I'm in control.
Pay attention, for God's sakes.
Yes,
select again.
Movies about presidency, for one.
You say just Settle down there, Mr. TV star,
all right,
okay?
I'm just a little edgy. It's all this stuff with Robert.
Uh-huh. Nutty, nutty, boo-boo.
See, that's the attitude I'm getting over here.
All right, listen. Listen, Circus Freak, please wait your turn.
See, it comes from you. I know it's out of love.
Right.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. Now, Doug is selected. Did he make his selection,
yes,
please?
Yes, he took movies about the presidency.
All right.
All as timely as today's headline. Stars Robert De Niro. And you should have your head cut on because you didn't get that one.
Greg, it's your opportunity to steal.
What is Wag the Dog?
Yeah, duh.
$1. I don't know what happened to Doug there. He was, you know, a big gaping hole.
Duh.
Oh, yes.
Brain fart.
And Greg, you're in control of the board.
Okay, movies about the presidency for $2, please.
Stars Robert Redford.
What is All the President's Men?
Yes, that's right, too.
Oh, he's coming on strong. Way to go, Greg. All right, select again.
Movies about the presidency for $3, please, LQ.
Stars Michael Douglas.
What is the American president?
The American
$3
president.
$3. Way to go. Woo. All right. $3. I'll
see
be
you,
back.
Raymond.
Bye. Bye-bye.
It's good to be back with all of you.
Robert?
Yes.
You're my favorite.
Oh, compadre. I'm my favorite, too. Thank you, Donald.
Now, this is the last category.
Oh, what a shame. Would that mean that Raymond would not be able to have any more categories?
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
All right, cut it out.
Ray?
Huh?
Yeah?
Not your turn.
I know, I'm not on the microphone. You don't have to worry about me.
That's the way it should be.
Okay, the last category is how many? And here we go. Who's in control here? Is it Doug?
I believe...
Is it Greg?
I believe Greg is in control of the board.
Greg.
How many for a dollar?
How many home runs Mark McGwire has hit thus far?
What is 55?
Oh. Tag.
My God, man. Don't you read a paper? All right, Doug, you're in control.
Tag.
Oh, that is rich. That is truly rich. Doug, your chance to steal.
51.
51.
51, there you go. 51.
$1 for you, Doug, the sports fan.
Anybody didn't know that has to be a fag, right?
Absolutely. A super robo fag.
Or as we say on this show, fag.
Fag.
Fag. I'm not a fag.
No, not you. All right, Doug, you're in control.
How many for two?
How many days in August?
30. What is 31?
Ah. Not in the form of a question.
I'm sorry, we have a tie game. Greg, a chance to break the tie.
Well, not that there's anything wrong with that. What is 31?
Yeah.
$2 for you. You've taken the lead, Gregory, and you are in control.
Let's close it out. How many for $3, please?
All right, the last question on the board. How many of How many liters of water equal 1 quart of water?
What is one?
One is correct.
Oh, my boy. $3 for you, Greg. Fantastic.
All right.
Now, Ray, come on back.
My call.
I'm back. Now, listen. We've got to go to a break. Raymond?
Yes, I'm standing by. I know it's my turn.
Yes, Ray, it's your turn. What is the score as we go to final low-budget Jeopardy?
All right. Greg finishes here with $15, and Doug has $10. Lord Quizmaster, who I pay a great deal of respect to.
Oh, what a suck-up.
Hey, Robert, it's my turn with a microphone.
Chill.
Listen, guys, we will physically force you both to bet it all when we come back from this break. And Ray?
Yes?
And Robert.
Of course.
I hope you guys will be nice during this break.
We will.
We're here with Low Budget Jeff Hardy.
Hi, Don.
Hello, Raymond.
How are you?
I'm fine. Where's your brother?
I'm over here, Don.
Hi, Rob.
He loves me better than you, Ray.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, all right. I can deal with it. I can handle it.
Of course you can. You're a major star.
Listen, Doug and Greg, fellas, you ready to play Final Low Budget Jeopardy?
Oh, yeah.
Still can.
All right, guys, here we go. Don't forget to answer in the form of a question. And here is your category, Guess That Celebrity Age.
Ooh, that's a tough category.
This gender bender recently had a birthday. Your final low-budget Jeopardy answer today is the current age of the delightful Boy George.
Oh, my goodness.
The current age of the delightful Boy George.
No, not happening.
Don't forget, answer in the form of a question and good luck.
All right, all contestants on low-budget Jeopardy will receive an autographed picture of me, Ray Romano.
And me, his brother Robert.
Oh, good.
My picture has the whole family in it, you know, taken in front of the fireplace.
My picture is me in my policeman's uniform in front of my locker.
I will autograph my picture for you personally.
I will personalize a brief note of thanks and my signature. All right?
All right. You're a dick.
Oh, hey, man.
I'm sorry.
Hey, boys.
I'm sorry.
Okay, who's throwing the names around? Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Mr. Geronimo.
Thank you, Robert.
What an angle. Raymond, I'm sorry.
Low Budget Jeopardy.
He's insulting me.
All right, we're going to play Final Low Budget Jeopardy now. Ray.
I hope we get there.
Robert.
Yeah, I'm
here. Who do we want to talk to first?
All right, you'd like to talk to the low person on the telephone pole, who is Doug Rasher. Hello.
Doug, this gender bender recently had a birthday. The current age of the delightful boy George.
LQ, what is 35?
As soon as I can find the appropriate sound effect, I will be glad to let you know.
He found the sound effect, Doug, and it was not the one you wanted to hear.
Don't let the screen door hit you on the way out. Greg.
Sorry, Doug.
Greg, you're the big wiener. You're the big wiener if you have the correct answer, Greg.
What is 36?
36? Oh. No, boys, are you ready for this?
Oh, what is it?
Boy George. Oh. 37.
Oh, 37. Oh.
Hi, this is Boy George. Never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. All right? Follow.
Yep, there he is right there.
Hey, I know that word.
I feel like such a punter.
It means balls.
Bollocks, yes, it does.
Yes, I'm an international man of renown.
Well, listen, Doug and Greg, it's the type of game that, well, only someone like Ken Stevens could love because we're not giving away any of his money.
Oh, yeah, tightwad, right?
Today, yeah.
What about the closer to not going over thing?
Who's that, Greg?
Yeah.
Greg, you're breaking the rule.
Oh.
You're screwing without you.
I thought you might have something for William.
Greg.
Don't screw without you.
Hey, listen, I'm going to slap somebody around here if we don't get this in line.
Listen, both of you guys, don't go away mad. Just go away. And here's Raymond and Robert.
We have agreed to
tell you about your gifts.
Don.
Yes, Raymond.
We have agreed to alternate on the prizes. I will read the first one, my brother will read the second one, and I will read the third one.
I would like to say it should be the other way around, please.
I agree.
All right. All right, the heck with both of you. Go ahead. You're first, Robert.
Thank you, Raymond. I appreciate that. And thank you so much for the transition music. All right, gentlemen, you have won the Rat Pack hat. Yes. Don't miss the premiere of the Rat Pack this Saturday at 9 p.m. Only on HBO. It's not TV. It's home VO. I follow you.
Thank you, Robert.
All right, there's the transition. You've also won a $25 gift certificate to eToys, the online toy store with all the best brands. eToys.com, a keyword, eToys on America. I'm not finished yet. Hey!
Yes, you are. Sorry, Raymond. And now, you both won a pair of passes to see There's Something About Mary at any theater in the Washington, D.C. area. And now back to my brother Ray.
All right. He got two. I got one. I can live with that. It's fine. I'm glad he's here.
Start the show. The show is not called Everybody Loves Robert. The show is called Everybody Loves Raymond.
Hey, I thought you're not turning on me, are you?
No, I'm just pointing out a fact.
Yeah, he is pointing out a fact.
I'm just trying to put Raymond in his place.
All right. I'm in my place. Okay, Robert?
All right. Listen, Doug, Greg, thank you, boys. Have a great weekend, my friends.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks, Robert. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you for listening to the show. And both Robert and Raymond.
Yeah, we got to go now. Come on, Robert.
All right, it's been a pleasure.
Been nice meeting both of you.
Yes, and I'd like to say one thing before I go. I will walk out first, because there's certain people I don't wish to speak with. I will simply say, everybody loves...
That's it. We got to go. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless you. All right, let's get in here.
All right.
Ow! Oh, ow! 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 I'm not kidding. Open the door. I'm not kidding. Mike, help him. My fingers.
I'm trying to get the door.
I'm not kidding, man.
All right. He got his fingers in the
door. I am not kidding.
Get it open. All right.
Ow!
All right, can we get that?
Ah!
You got it?
Jeez.
Are you all right?
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine.
My God, I thought he took the whole fingers off there. All right.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. I think, join us tomorrow, folks, when we'll have a brand new security guard. MacGyver slammed, folks, if you want to know what just happened, MacGyver slammed Don's fingers in the door. Are you all right?
He slammed. Look at the marks on my hand and my fingernails, all turning a nice shade of black and blue now.
That's right. It'll be Blue Nail Geronimo tomorrow on the show.
One, two, three. Oh, look at this one still works.
I'm all right.
All right.
Gee. Listen, I'll shut the door. You just go get in the back, okay?
Okay.
You just go.
All right, just shut the door, okay? Here we go.
Ow! Ow!
Just kidding. I'm sorry. I had to. I couldn't resist. Yeah. I had to.
Don, do you have any ice in that beverage glass that you had before? Perhaps you should put those in ice.
You know, I apologize for using the Lord's name there, but everybody should understand that.
Seriously, your fingers were genuinely slammed in the door.
It was taking every bit of emotion that I had not to scream out in pain in the childish way I normally do when I hurt myself.
And everybody is very concerned about your welfare back here. Are you okay?
Oh, who wants to kiss my hand?
Anybody want to kiss Don's hand?
Okay. Right. Screw all of you then.
The Don and Mike Show.
Please remember to wake them and feed them a cherry pie. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Way on the other side.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello, is that me?
Yeah.
Hey, fellas, this is Jim from South Carolina. How y'all doing?
Yes, Jim. Hi, we're doing great.
Good. You know, Monica's on the loose. She's looking for a talk show. Oprah turned her down. Did Buzz know about that?
Yeah, I believe that Rob Spiewak covered that yesterday, cub reporter Rob Spiewak. And as he said yesterday, I don't believe Oprah's spin on this, that Oprah's saying that she didn't want to pay the money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe it for a minute. If behind the scenes, you know, Oprah, I think, has greater PR than anybody. She's got it all together.
Oh, yeah.
What Oprah says and what you hear her people say, that is a well-rehearsed, well-organized White House spin doctor strategy.
Stedman puts on that dog collar every night.
Sure.
Ooh, Oprah. You did a mighty fine show today, Oprah.
Shut up, Stedman, and please me.
Okay, Oprah.
Please me like you know you can.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, honey.
Yes, ma'am. Mmm, Oprah.
Oh, Stedman.
That's good, Oprah.
You pleased me.
That boy made me more.
Yeah. Letterman.
Leno.
Montel.
Edmund.
Mike Douglas, he's the only white man ever made me moist.
Please me, Stedman.
My impression's on the show there.
It pleases me greatly.
That's how Oprah talks about
like Elvis. When Elvis wore, I bet she wears the turban like Elvis wore in Harum Scarum. It pleases me greatly, Stedman. Do it to me.
Wow. It's amazing. When Oprah gets behind closed doors, she sounds just like Elvis Presley.
I bet you got to act like Elvis, too.
Sure.
Listen, about, there's no way to segue into this, about fat people.
Yes.
And about things going down. I must tell you something.
Yes.
Today, the jeans that I am wearing,
yes,
size 34.
Wow.
Now, listen. I remember when I was a senior in high school.
Yes.
I used to buy jeans that were 32,
mm-hmm.
32. Mm-hmm. I remember that was my size. That's how long ago it's been since I've been this close to the promised land.
That's pretty damn close. That's pretty incredible right there.
32-inch waist.
I'm proud of you.
Hold on. I can actually
fit into them.
Get a hand down the front of my pants. It's not like they're so tight they're cutting off the circulation of my gonads.
That's a 34.
34, baby.
34.
34-inch waist.
Man,
thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Very good. Good job.
Thank you. And anybody that would like to come in and check it today, I will be glad to drop trowel at a moment's notice to show you the tag. My only bit of reservation in this is that I didn't buy the Levi's.
You got to get the Levi's with the number on the back. I didn't scratch it out.
I wasn't sure that I could fit into them,
right,
when I was at the store. So I bought the Wranglers.
Oh, Wranglers.
Wranglers, right?
You can get those at Target.
As a matter of fact, Mike.
Did you get them at Target?
That's where I got them.
You're the man.
I had to go in to buy some antifreeze.
Sure.
And I walked by and I thought, you know what?
I bet
I could fit into a size 34.
Yep.
And I did it.
Wranglers don't. Do they feel good though? I've always thought that Wranglers don't feel as good as the Levi's.
Now here's the way I rate them. I think you got your Levi's
number one. I think really when you can fit into them and they fit well, they're the best jeans you can buy.
And then you got Lee.
It's
like, you know, it's like Coke and Pepsi. It's like one and two.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got your designers. You got your Calvin Klein's.
Yeah.
And then somewhere down the ladders where you get to Wrangler territory.
Wrangler, I remember Wranglers from when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we used to wear.
Right.
You know. And then Levi's, when I was growing up, they came onto the scene. But Wranglers were
dungarees.
Those were the dungarees that we bought.
That was another thing with my mom. Like, my mom would not buy me Chuck Taylor shoes.
Right.
I wanted Chucks so bad when I was a kid, and I always had to get, like, Keds. I always had to settle for the less-than-name brand.
Right.
Same with the jeans. I always had to wear Wrangler, or even worse.
Yeah.
Sears.
Yeah,
Sears brand dungarees rather than the Levi's.
Like the bad stitching on them and stuff like that.
Yeah. Sucked, man.
They're not as bad as they used to be. I mean, it used to be terrible, though. See, I know the ones you're talking about. And putting them on was like putting on metal pants.
Money metal pants.
Money metal pants.
Money metal pants.
Oh, man, I tell you. But those Wranglers, when they, you know, before stonewashing and pre-washing and all that, I mean, a new pair of Wranglers would, you know, would cut you.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, I imagine that these pants aren't long for the world because they cost like $8 a pair or something like that.
So you bought them at the greatest retail outlet known to mankind.
I know. I thought of you.
I mean, it's incredible. And look at the materials. What you got in there, you got 100% cotton. You've got the same materials that you would get in any other clothing. And I'm talking about like T-shirts. If you want to just buy a ratty old T-shirt, you go with the Cherokee label. The Cherokee label is outstanding. I wear Cherokee T-shirts.
You're such white trash in some way.
Let me tell you something. The Cherokee, thank you. The Cherokee brand is, in my humble opinion, as far as regular cotton, plain, like colored T-shirts, the best T-shirts for the money you can buy. Absolutely going away. That's why I did cartwheels, you know, and that's why I was so disappointed you sent Slam Man back, because you got me the $200 worth of gift certificates at Target, and I just ate it up. I just went in there and was like, spent it. Spent it. Just had a cart full of stuff there. It was great.
And I get ashamed going to Target, man.
You get ashamed?
Oh, no. Yeah, you know what I mean.
I hold my head up high.
The stars shop at Target.
Yeah.
Not me, man. Right. I'm a star. I don't shop there. Except for stuff like, well, what did I go in there to buy?
Antifreeze.
Antifreeze, right.
Mm-hmm. See, what you could have done, not only, but you went in to get antifreeze.
Yeah.
You bought clothing. And you could have purchased toiletries, food products, minor electronic items, a tremendous toy department, bicycles, lawn and garden supplies.
You could
get yourself a hamburger if you wanted to.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because they've got a full snack bar over there. You could buy a gift for your wife that she would be none. Well, she might be the wiser on it. But it's just incredible.
I think she would be. Well, listen, Target's good for some things.
Okay, now that you brought it up, I haven't been in a long time.
I don't share your love of the Target clothes, but I do have to come clean and say that the jeans I'm wearing today are from Target.
And can I say something? Since we're on the subject, I'll just keep it brief. But you know, when the time you were talking about Nike and talking every day about how you love Nike?
I still do.
I've been talking about this fine retail operation for quite some time.
Yeah. Target? Oh, yeah, you haven't gotten dick.
It just would be my opinion that with all the good things that I've had to say about that mega, mega store, the Target, that they would maybe throw
you a bone.
Old Uncle Mike a bone here once in a while.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little disappointed, although it wouldn't stop me from going in. You know, getting shampoo and getting clothing.
Yeah. Listen, if those bastards at Nike could send us a box of free stuff, and you know that they're the cheapest people on the face of the earth.
Yeah, and they're not doing too well lately. So
was before they started the big slide downhill. So yes, Walmart or Target, whatever it is, send Mike some free junk.
I heard that Target gives like lots of their profits to charity. Like as far as retailers are concerned, they're the number one giving their give some of that charity money to me, please. Thank you.
Okay.
And how'd you like to go to that orphanage? Listen, we were going to give you kids the special shoes you needed. However, there's a disc jockey in Washington who talks about the show a lot.
I do.
So I'm sorry. The Michael J. Elston Orphanage will go without oatmeal this month.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting on my bed with all these marked down swimming suits.
Look at the colors. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
I was wondering, did you guys see the new thing that ESPN did, like a Sunday night on the football game?
What was it? You mean with the line?
Yeah, they projected the line.
Oh, I love that. You know, normally ESPN junks things up too much,
right?
Yeah.
But on Sunday night football, they got a yellow line that goes across the screen to show you where the team has to go to make a first down.
Does it work?
Yeah, it was good. I thought it was real good.
Wow. Easier to watch the game, I would imagine.
Yeah, made it real good. You know, I want to talk about TV. Thank you for the call. I got a chance to watch a lot of the new shows last night. Oh, and we will do the Rhett and Mortgage very quickly.
Very good.
Okay, we're going to give away all the money here. Mm-hmm. And also today, what's his name? The professor from Gilligan's Island.
The curmudgeon.
Right. It was not a good appearance the last time he was on the show.
He's angry for what reason? I think, did we discuss it was the communist thing that we...
We had heard that he was a member of the Communist Party. And
is
we
that
asked,
how it happened?
We asked him about it, I think.
There was communism, and also you gave him a hard time for not signing for royalties.
All right, when you say there was communism, how did it come up?
Because when he was starting in Hollywood in the 50s, it was like the height of McCarthyism.
And he brought it up, right?
Well, it was in his book. You all touched on it, and it got just heated. And then he was mad that he never got royalties for the show.
Oh, good. Okay, good. That's another hot
question. So listen, the three questions, I guess, that we'll ask him today. First, we want to ask him how Ginger really looks, right? Yeah. Tina Louise, since we had her on the show.
Which will probably get an answer like, I don't care, whatever.
Then we'll ask him, the last appearance on our show, how do you think that went?
Right.
And then the third question will be, have you ever been or are you now a card-carrying member of the Communist Party?
And if he doesn't get mad enough at that, we'll throw in a, hey, you must be getting lots of royalties from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. That'll just
set him off.
Okay, so last night I watched a bunch of the shows because the goddamn Yankees are on, so again, Hank Hill wasn't on TV.
Right. Yeah, I'm watching the Yankees really kind of like watching the grass grow because they win every game they play, so it's boring.
Right. And besides, I hate the Yankees. You know, as much as I despise baseball,
yes,
I despise the Yankees.
You hate them more than the Red Sox?
Oh, without a doubt.
Oh, good. All right, that's good to hear.
Without a doubt.
They're hated. Oh, you ready to see our new publicity pictures?
Yes.
Oh, they're back.
Hold on a second. Let me see.
Hey, these are pretty good pictures.
All right.
You tell me which one you like. That's a pretty good one. Hey, here's a very good one. Here's a very good one. You're frowning and I'm smiling. Here's another pleasant one. Okay, these are, you know what? These are not bad pictures.
I knew they'd be good because they took 5 seconds to do.
These are not bad. All right, here's one where we're both smiling. All right. Well, you know, we're smiling in almost all these pictures.
Wow.
They're almost all the same. Oh, here you go. Here's the one with Buzz in the middle. Look at the look on Buzz's face in this picture. Okay?
Hey, these are good.
These are nice pictures. God damn it, I'm a handsome man.
Yes, you are.
There's another one of the three of us. Again, Buzz with a very smug look on his face in all of these photos.
I like this one. I like this one. That's
Let me see that one. Hold on a second.
I do like that picture.
That's good.
That is a good. That's a keeper this, right there.
I think you're right about for the three of us.
Yeah, that's a keeper.
That's a keeper.
Absolutely.
Okay, look at your face in this one. Just look at your face in that one.
Hello there.
Hold on, here's another one. We're going to make it like that same goofy face.
With my left eye, like, closed. My left eye completely closed.
Well, I don't know. We'll have to pick one of just you and me.
They're all good.
This one's not bad, of you and me.
I thought we were going to get, like, shoulder shots. I know you've lost a ton of weight.
Well,
I'd like to point out, I haven't.
We could crop it, like, at breast level, though.
Actually, I'm not disappointed, though. I'm not, you know, I don't mind that one. That's not a bad looking
picture. Well, let me see that one.
Okay. But let's go through them.
No, because look, I got the veins in my forehead sticking out.
Wow.
I look like Lex Luthor in that picture. Take a good look at my forehead. No, I don't mean to be vain, but right. I can't help it. I am vain.
I just, right now, the criteria would be, I'm looking for a picture where my eyes are actually both open.
Yeah.
All right, well, this one, well, no, your eye's kind of crinkly in that one.
All right.
Well, I don't know. That one's not bad.
These are black and white publicity photos. These
you know, we've never had a publicity photo that we've liked.
Right. Yeah.
So this would be a first.
Awful nice happy one there. I kind of like that.
Let me see that one again. Let me take a good look at that one. Except I got that big vein in my forehead. Well, I could live with that. They could airbrush that out.
Yeah, that could
be.
Let me see.
Sure. Let me see the one left.
See? Look right there. It looks like Frankenstein with that big thing that Frankenstein's got on the top of his head. That big scar he's got, like a Herman Munster scar.
My eye, what is the matter? Do I have like Rudy disease or something like that? My eye seems closed in all of these.
You do look a little sleepy in this one. It looks like 99 time almost in that one.
I don't think we've ever had pictures taken where we were more relaxed.
Yeah,
I don't think ever that we've had a photo. You know why? It shows that it was like we were in there in 5 minutes, we were out of there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, anyway, we'll pick the one that's the best. And that's the one that we'll send to the girl who is Kevin James' wife on the show, The King of Queens.
Right.
And hopefully that will be the one that she puts up on her refrigerator.
Good.
Now, about the TV, you know, I did watch a whole bunch of new shows last night.
Right.
And first off, I just want to say about Mad About You that the Helen Hunt factor no longer is a factor for me, no matter how much of a piece of ass Helen Hunt is, no matter how talented she is as an actress.
Show sucks too much?
That show must be put out of its misery.
Mm-hmm.
Must be. That is the worst show on television.
I agree with you.
And last night, Ira, the guy with the light bulb head.
All right.
Totally the star of the show.
Yeah, well, see, that's going to happen as the seasons progress. You got a guy like that that's going to demand more airtime.
Because Paul Reiser has to go in for a tonsillectomy, okay? He has tonsillitis. He has to have his tonsils taken out.
Right.
So Ira, who has the baby in one of those backpacks where he has the baby strapped on the front of him,
right. He
goes into the chapel to pray. And now he's never been to church before, and the priest that they have is the guy that was Father Mulcahy from MASH, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he says to him, And the guy's an awful actor. I mean, the guy can't act his way out of a paper bag. The guy's not good enough to be in my kid's production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, that Shakespeare thing. The guy says, I've never been in church before, so maybe you can help me through this. So now he's got the baby in the backpack strapped to his front, and he's looking up at the sky in this little church chapel in the hospital. He goes, how you doing?
I know I've never talked to you before. I'd really like world peace. That would be nice. Health for my family. If the Yankees could get a good left-hander, that would be good. I'd like to meet a nice woman. And I guess that's about it. I'm not really sure how to sign this up. And then at that point,
big laugh track all the way through. And yeah. Do they do that show in front of an audience?
Sure. It sure sounds like a laugh track. They have to sweeten it.
Right. Yeah.
And at that point, the baby, with obvious dialogue that is thrown in because the baby has its face on the chest of the guy, the baby goes, schmuck. And then he says, oh, yes, and please, have Mabel, or whatever they've named the baby.
Mabel.
Have Mabel stop repeating everything that I say. Thank you. See you later. And it's like
totally jive.
So bad.
Beyond jive.
Yes. So bad. It was awful, man.
Ira, the balding guy, the blow dries the hair that he has left, making him really look like an alien.
Somebody put that show out of its misery. I'm way over mad about you. Not even Helen Hunt could make me stay with mad about you.
Even
last
in its
night.
Absolute best, I don't count it among the top shows of all time. No. I never thought the show was as funny at its zenith as other shows. You know, when they were at the top of their game.
It was like a serious one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like he was laying in the hospital bed after having his tonsils taken out, and she's talking to him, and he was unconscious, and she was like, don't you know that you're the best thing that's ever happened to me, and I never thought I'd get married before I met you.
Like a guy like him would get a girl like that.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Right, like Paul Reiser could ever get a major league piece of ass like Helen Hunt.
Like Paul Reiser. I mean, you get him out of the makeup. I mean, you take a look at Paul Reiser. I mean, that is the definition of the word schlep.
Like Helen Hunt wouldn't be cheating on him in a second.
Oh, absolutely.
Or Jamie, whatever her name is on that show.
And how is she looking? Is she
strong?
She is strong.
Good.
Very strong. Good. She's like a robot. I think she's an automatic woman. She really is.
She can't help it, man. Even on her worst day, she's still got to look so good.
Little robo award gathering machine.
She's looking too good.
Helen Hunt.
So I watched that show and I was disappointed. And I had not seen the Nathan Lane show yet. Encore, Encore.
Yeah. Well,
okay. And I'm a big Nathan Lane fan. I mean, that guy, I swear to God, is so funny.
Yep.
It's not funny. He's so funny.
Yep.
But that show is so not funny.
Horrible. It sucks so bad.
That it
stunk.
It's making me turn on Nathan Lane, who is a homo, and I have nothing against the fact that he's a homo.
Right. Is he out of the closet gay?
He's too gay to be playing a guy on a TV show who's supposed to be a stud.
Yeah, maybe
which
you're right
is
about
which
that.
Is part of his
right.
persona on this show that he's an opera singer that's lost his voice, and I guess he slept with every famous person in the world.
Right.
You know, and it just doesn't play.
Right.
You know, when he's going, yes, I was with her. Oh, she's just magnificent. I mean,
he's miscast in that role. It's just not the right role for him.
I like Nathan Lane. I really wanted to watch that show and really enjoy him because he is so funny. Mm-hmm. But that show sucked too.
Yeah, in the advance on all these shows, pretty accurate so far. Everything that got a bad review before it even came on is falling right into place.
But the one show that I did see last night that I really thought was great was that show Sports Night.
Yeah.
The show that is what goes on like behind the scenes at ESPN.
Oh, how was it?
That show.
Who's in it? Anybody famous in it?
Nobody I know. That show, excellent.
Really?
I mean, really. The closest thing, I think, to Larry Sanders. Of course, it doesn't have the profanity that Larry Sanders did. But
it's edgy. It's a little edgy.
Oh, it's most excellent.
Oh, good. Good. What network is that on?
ABC.
I'd like to see that.
They go easy on the soundtrack. The stories seem pretty original. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Except that's a show that didn't need a laugh track.
Right.
Except it's obviously we're using a laugh track.
Yeah, a little
bit.
But
I didn't get it. That's a show like on Larry Sanders. A lot of times they would have funny jokes on Larry Sanders,
right. mm-hmm.
and you would laugh out loud,
right.
but it was funny because it was like you were watching real life.
Yeah, right. no laugh track necessary.
Right.
And I finally watched that show that you like, Buzz, The Practice, that was on. I think that's an ABC show, and that show, that fat lady, I was just watching it, and that fat lady, I believe she deserves the Emmy that she got.
She's good.
She's that good.
Yeah.
And that show, I was completely
I believe
surprised.
Her dry cleaner deserves the Emmy.
That's what I think.
This one's for all the fat girls!
Yeah.
It's very disappointing last night. Oh, but there was a great show on HBO about autopsies.
Autopsy 5 was on last night.
It kicked ass.
I bet Broyhill saw it,
too. It kicked ass. It was so good, and I was so mad that I missed it because I was watching Star Trek. Mm. Oh, but it was good because they were cutting this guy open and showing you all his insides and stuff.
Oh, man, Autopsy 5. That's the brand new one.
Yes.
Man, you were lucky to catch that. So you were robo-remote man last night.
Yeah. And I had the highs and the lows. Yeah. You know, it went from mad about you, which was awful,
right,
to encore, which was equally bad,
right,
then that sports night show. But then when the autopsy show came on, I went, it's so great watching them cut up dead people.
You did a better job than I did last night just getting, you know, sucked into Dateline again, which is, you know, getting so dull. They're getting so tired with their storylines. I don't even remember. I couldn't even remember what they were talking about last night. That's how boring it was with Jane Paul.
At one point when they cut the guy open,
yeah,
all the doctors had to step back because the smell was so overpowering.
And they showed it for real?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was a great show, man.
Well, don't they videotape like all major autopsies anyway?
Mostly now they do, yeah.
It's so cool. Now that should be a regular show. That's a show that you could use a laugh track on that show, and it would be okay. Like at one point they're cutting this guy open,
right,
and all the doctors go, whoa, and they step back.
Perfect place for a laugh, right?
It's like, you know, in a you know, in a cartoon, like when Pepe Le Pew cuts a fart and you see the little squiggly lines going up in the air. That's like the effect. And you think about it, these are doctors with masks on and junk. And the smell. So they cut this guy open and they go, whoa.
Oh, God.
That was fantastic.
Whoa.
That's a show.
That is a show that creeps me out. Creeps me out. That's nightmare territory when you watch Autopsy. That's how good it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, really.
Right.
Ever since they found the lady in the tub.
That was a good episode. Oh, I love that one. That was a good one.
We determined, since the flesh had been eaten by maggots, that I would grind up the maggots in a blender. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my God.
But you didn't change the channel, did you?
Oh, I was riveted.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Good morning, you're on the air.
Oh, for my goodness sakes, let me turn down the radio. Oh, there's some sort of echo. Echo. That was great. Let me hear that. There is an echo. I can hear that. Yeah, that was fascinating. I have to say my crap detector went off when that last person started saying someone's name on the radio.
Yeah,
it's a shame we don't have a 7-second delay. I just want to say I used to go to the club scene back in the... I started in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There were a couple of years where I just decided, you know, screw this, I'm going to stay home. So I would sit home and watch television. But then the 80s came along and it became fun again. And one type of club that you didn't mention is before it became very dirty to go to these places, you could go to the place where people were dancing naked and peeing and throwing BM at each other. And it was a lot of fun, to tell you the truth, if you wore a plastic sheeting.
Wait a minute. What were the names of these places?
Oh, I don't remember. This is down in New York. But it was a lot of fun watching people exhibiting farfalotis at the blowhole. And there was a lot of times where I believe that many people should have joined the Joe Ardinger Taint Society of BM Eaters Anonymous. Can you believe that Lisa Herndon is marrying a primate when she should be with me, the great platypus tongue? And do you ever listen to the Don and Mike Show?
Actually, I do listen to Don and Mike. Let him go.
Good morning, you're in the air.
Oh, that's so funny, because he mentioned Joe Ardinger, and I know exactly who he's talking about.
Good morning.
We just got slimed.
That's okay.
Who are you and where are you calling from?
My name is Richard. I'm calling from Staten Island.
Okay, Richard. Your contribution?
My contribution was I was hoping to get on with a couple of people because I had an opinion question that I wanted to pose that I thought maybe a couple of people could interact with.
Okay, Richard, hold on right there.
Okay.
I'm going to let you guys, Richard, you go ahead and let's see what happens.
Okay. Can everybody else hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, great. My question is how everybody would feel about the Don and Mike Show returning to New York airwaves.
All right, here we go.
How would you feel about that?
Now, wait a minute. No, I want to find the pig. I want to find the pig that's burping.
The pig gave birth to you, duh.
Okay, now, Mr. Pig, if you could just stop burping long enough to have some discourse here.
Okay.
I'd like to ask you a question or two.
Okay.
Richard, what is the significance of coming on a radio show with lots of people listening, parading yourself as a person with a reasonable level of intelligence, and then burping into the telephone?
You just answered the question. In your question of what's the significance of parading myself in front of tens of people that are listening to your show.
Go ahead.
Well, that's the reason. I am an idiot that likes to draw attention to himself.
Okay. Well, Richard, I want to thank you for your honesty.
All right.
I really want to thank Richard for having the intestinal fortitude to stay and answer the question. I really mean that.
The Don and Mike Show.
It certainly is a beautiful day. We should thank the leader.
Who the hell is that? Some kind of leader?
Yes. He's the head of our perfect family.
Why don't you come chat with us about the leader at the Welcome Center?
Will there be beer?
Beer is not allowed.
Home or no function, beer well without.
Would you rather have beer or complete and utter contentment?
What kind of beer?
Hold it, fellas. That don't move me. Let's get real, real gone for a change. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Baldy.
I was just calling. I have to agree with Mike on this issue of Target.
Thank you, sir. It's no debate. I mean, I'll tell you right now, it's just I love Target, and I think anybody that's been in that store knows the joy of going into Target.
When the one in our area first opened up, it was like.
I just like the dichotomy. I like the hypocriticalness of this. That this is coming from a man who drives a Lexus.
Yes.
Who says he would, he likes paying $3 for a T-shirt.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that. How you think you can afford the Lexus?
Yeah. Well, I think that you have to recognize value.
Yes.
And I think that a Lexus, there's value in that car.
Yep.
And in Target, there's value in Target. Doesn't matter what the price is, as long as it's value.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. Well, I work in an auto parts store, and I don't buy auto parts. At my auto parts store that I work at.
You buy them at Target.
I buy them at Target.
Of course you do.
There you go.
And I disagree with you on one thing, Mike, is that the toy department could be a little better.
You know, I'm not going to disagree with you there. I think the toy department...
Don't you generally get the second-tier toys? Like right now, if you went into Target, wouldn't they have, like, small soldiers' toys?
They would have... What it is, I think, is just a quantity factor. They could expand their toy department a little bit. But when I'm in there with my daughter, having the smaller toy department is A-OK because...
Oh, I understand that.
Less of a time commitment when we're going up and down the aisle, so that's just fine with me.
Well, I got a three-year-old son who's realized what toys are, and he expects toy department to be like, Toys R Us.
Well, see, that's the advantage. Then you can move on to the things that you enjoy.
Yeah.
Cotton T-shirts.
I just think they sell a lot of cheap junk in there.
Well, see, they don't.
Good for some stuff.
It is. Now, you're right. Everything, you can't get everything in there.
Right.
But you can get the stuff that's good is just good, and I like it.
Now, if they sold antifreeze at Neiman Marcus, I would never have a reason to go to any other store, man. Now, there's good value, Neiman Marcus.
Oh, yeah.
You want some bang for your buck.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me? Neiman Marcus. Throw up when I go by that store.
That store, I think, more than any other store I've ever been in, is a store that makes me uncomfortable from when I walked in. And I loved it when you told that story about how you didn't take the crap
from
the lady in there, because all those people in there run a robo-attitude.
Yeah, because I didn't look like a rich guy.
Right.
I was walking around and they're just dressed in my regular clothes, and she was following me around like I was going to swipe something.
That store is just, it's ludicrous.
Like I was going to swipe one of their crystal swans that they charge $5,000 for.
You're the right weight class for that store, though. Now, you can go into that store and get the clothes that they sell now. I can't, because their clothes are like Euro clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, this is the man with the 26-inch waist and a lovely satin shirt that looks like pajamas.
I bought Buzz and I satin shirt there one time.
Yeah. Buzz is good. Yeah,
sorry, Buzz.
I enjoy them.
A nice pirate shirt.
I know you like those kind of shirts.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
They don't sell those at Target.
They're comfortable. No, they don't, Mike.
No, they don't. If they sell them, they got like a big New Orleans Saints logo on the back of them.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. How you guys doing, man?
Hey, Baldy.
It's Todd from Wichita, Kansas.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to find out, what do you guys think of the Whose Line Is It Anyway with Drew Carey?
We've already commented on that show.
It sucks. I
believe here's the thought. I mean, we commented when that show came on.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why that show is a ripoff. That... What they do is take 3 hours and they edit it down to 22 minutes.
And so they dumb it down, too. From the British version, they've dumbed it down. They've dumbed it down for American, and it's not the same show, and it sucks.
So what you're seeing is not really off the top of your head ad-libbing. Right. What you're seeing is, you know, you put anybody in a room for 3 hours, and you could come up with some funny moments.
Right.
So it's not really as ad-lib and as spontaneous as they would like you to believe it is.
I was a fan of the British version of the show where they actually would, you know, let it go and you would hear, you know, the witty lines that they come up with, whereas the dumbing down version that they made for America, you got a lot more of the, you know, where they're trying to be planes and stuff like that. It's so
maybe
obvious.
I'm dumb, but I laughed when you just did that.
Yeah. It was good.
You funny airplane man. Airplane man.
Airplane man.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, baby.
Hi, baby.
How are you?
Doing great, thank you.
Good. I was calling about Autopsy 5.
Great show last night.
I was like you. I was riveted.
Killer show, if you'll pardon the pun.
And I had to call you guys because I'm real tense for the rent and mortgage contest, and I'm sitting in the bathtub listening to you guys.
Are you in the tub right now?
I am. Can you hear it?
Oh, baby.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
I have been told that I look like Stevie Nicks with dark hair.
He's kind of, maybe it could be somebody else.
But young Stevie Nicks, not with her all hagged out.
Oh, very young Stevie Nicks?
Remember when she did, like, Gypsy and stuff?
Okay.
When she was into the longer dresses?
It still doesn't do it for me. I was never a Stevie Nicks fan.
Really?
Gypsy! It's that whole folk singer thing.
Didn't get my boobs either, so.
Sarah! There's never been a hot folk singer. I defy you to name a hot folk singer. They're all dogs. Joan Baez. Melanie. I know we've been in the discussion about Melanie before. Oh, I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key. Who would do her? And Mary from Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Right. She's a man, baby.
Yeah, right. She makes Linda McCartney look like a supermodel. Are
Joni Mitchell.
Right. She's another one. Totally fuggly.
Judy Collins.
Yeah, I defy you to come up with a good-looking folk singer.
That is an incredible challenge. You might be right on
and
that.
And you can't categorize like Sheryl Crow as a folk singer, because Sheryl Crow is more like a diva.
It's got to be from that era, and I don't think, as far as a big-name folk singer, oh, listen to the splash.
Yeah, like hairy armpits and stuff. Big, big-boned women. You know, yuck. Grace Slick, she's another one. She's the poster girl for that. Yuck. Well, listen.
You guys have met me before, though. I met you all at the Shark Club.
Really?
And, matter of fact, sent you guys some drinks.
You did? Well, did you come up on stage?
My husband wouldn't let me.
Oh, your husband.
Because I wanted to get naked because I was drunk.
Is he home now, your husband?
Uh-uh. Mm. No.
Would you wash yourself?
Sure.
Would you wash, let me see, would you wash Lefty?
Lefty for you?
I'll take Lefty. Would you wash, please? Are you washing Lefty now?
I am getting my loofah good and wet. And
Your loofah.
See, I think, when I hear loofah, I think of Caddyshack, the lady that was married to Judge Smales. Loofah my stretch marks.
All right. And yes, Lefty has been taken care of.
Please wash Lefty for me.
I am, Don, just for you.
All right, and do that little trick. Do that little bathtub trick. And now, do you want Righty?
Oh, yes.
Righty for Mike, please.
Yes, do Righty now.
Okay, Mike, just for you.
Mm-hmm. And now for all of us, please vigorously scrub your place. As Jerry Lewis would say, scrub your place. Will you do that? Will you take the loofah to your place?
Sure.
And while you're down there, check under the hood.
See if you're ready for your 10,000-mile checkup yet. Are you scrubbing the place?
Yes, I am.
Good.
Just for you.
Very nice. Now rinse. Baby. There you go.
Oh,
All nice and clean. Oh, yeah, nice and clean.
So, guys, you have to do the rent and mortgage contest before I turn into a prune.
Oh, we can do that in our next break.
Oh, good.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
See you later.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nothing like girls taking a bath during the show.
Boy, terrific phone, too.
Very
good phone quality. Yeah. Picked up all the water splash.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, is this me?
Yeah.
I got a suggestion for a good-looking folk singer.
All right.
Jewel.
Jewel? Mm, I don't think Jewel counts as a folk singer.
Well, I guess technically she was. She just happened to get popular. I guess that's not her fault.
You know, she would fall into the... Probably, you know,
but her, but her songs...
Solo. She's like Sheryl Crow, though.
Her songs are too commercial, though. I mean, to be a folk singer, you really have... First off, you have to have crappy songs that nobody likes. And Jewel
would
is
Grace
very...
Grace Slick be a folk singer that she was in her early days?
When the truth has come, and hello, and here on somebody to love. Yeah, I think she kind of qualifies as a folk singer from the early days of the Starship or Airplane, whatever they called it.
She fits into that category with all those other lovelies that you mentioned, too.
I'll give you this, though. The Jewel would be the one, maybe, mm-hmm. who you might be able to say crosses over. However, she has become such a commercial success that she's really a pop singer, not a folk singer.
And you have to really consider, you know, there really are no folk singers anymore. It has to be that 60s, 70s era where they were popular, and you have to find a woman from that era, I think.
Right, and you know, Jewel is singing songs like about her boyfriend leaving her and stuff. You know, old hag Joan Baez. The night they drove old Dixie down.
I was taking into consideration, from what I hear, that Jewel grew up in the back of a car. Doesn't that kind of make you a folk singer?
No, that makes her white trash.
Yeah,
she probably shops at Target.
She's modern, too.
Well, at least she qualifies for something.
Yeah, now that she's out of the back of that car, she shops at Target.
She should get her teeth fixed. That's what she should do with that money. She got the snaggle tooth happening.
Well, that's part of her charm. You know, you always look for that that snaggle tooth. But I would venture to say that if she's only got time for egg salad sandwiches or something like that, you'd need some robo floss in there.
Yeah, right. She probably can't eat Big Macs and stuff like that, either. Hello?
Hello?
Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Great, thanks.
How about Crystal Gayle, folk singer way back?
No, Crystal Gayle's a country singer.
Country singer.
No. Crystal Gayle is a country singer. Are you kidding me? Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. I was calling about the autopsy thing, and I was wondering if you saw the part where they went in and they caught the guy as he was chopping that woman up.
No, I must have missed that part.
Oh, that part was so good. They went in there, and they had the actual police video camera part, and they go in, and he had been having this dispute with his neighbor and had not shown up. Neither of them had showed up for court. They went over, and he comes out kind of irritated, like, what's going on? So they handcuff him and take him outside. They go in there, and the woman is in there. They show her head and her trunk with no arms.
Oh, my God!
Damn, I knew I missed
that. The police video of it.
Oh, my. So they showed the whole police video?
Yeah, no. Like of them going into the house, down to the
What a great show that
and
is.
And then, yeah, so then the guy, you know, of course they arrest him and throw him in the paddy wagon, and by the time they get to the police station, the guy had, even though he was handcuffed behind his back, had taken his belt off and strangled himself.
Mm. So wow. In the back of the car, did they show that too?
The what?
Did they show that?
Him strangled, yeah, they opened the paddy wagon and he like slumped out of it dead. You know, and then they did the autopsy on him.
It's a great show, man.
Yeah, it really was.
Oh, wow.
I can't believe you missed it. Hopefully they'll rerun it, because you got to see it.
Yeah, they rerun everything on HBO. Thank you, though. Thank you for the tip. Now I know that there's something to look forward to.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy, how's it going?
Hey, hi, my friend.
Hi. Speaking of a hot folk artist, one that you haven't mentioned yet would be Ani DeFranco. She's not real popular in the mainstream, but she is real, real hot.
Well, you know, it would have to be somebody we all know.
Right, come on, hello, Donna Mike Show.
Ani DeFranco, is that Tony DeFranco's mother?
Heartbeat, it's a love beat, and when we meet, it's a good sensation.
Heartbeat,
that was good. It's a love beat. We love singing to the DeFranco family.
Listen to my heart pound.
Bum, 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 bum.
Listen to my love sound.
Feeling's getting stronger, stronger, stronger. Can't hold back any longer.
It's a heartbeat, it's a love beat, and when we meet, it's a good sensation. It's a heartbeat. What a song.
That's pretty. Hey. We're not too faggy, are we?
Tony DeFranco and the DeFranco family.
I'm Don Homo. He's Mike Homo.
Hi.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yeah.
Folk singer for you.
Yes.
What about Janis Joplin?
Yeah, right. Right. Hey, 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 Bonnie McGee.
Bonnie Raitt would count, too. Bonnie Raitt with her skunk hair.
Hello, Todd and Mike Show. Bonnie Raitt's a bad girl, though.
Yeah,
she's cool. I like Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah.
I bet Bonnie Raitt is good between the sheets.
Bonnie Tyler?
No, thank you. Wow. She's no Bonnie Bernstein if we're playing the Bonnie game. Hello?
You guys are missing one big, big folk singer.
Mama Cash.
Cass Elliot.
Right.
That was a pretty one.
Wasn't the other one from Mamas and the Papas, wasn't she hot, though?
No, Mamas and the Papas was, you mean the other, you know, you're right.
Oh,
you are right, the lady, the other.
Debatable. Debatable if she was hot or not.
No, you're right, Rob. Michelle Phillips in her prime was a hottie.
Yeah, back then, she was fine.
I think she was an actual, she may be the only one that counts as a real, she in her prime was a real hottie.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Carole King, man, come on, you got to feel the earth move to that woman, come on.
Carole King is so butt ugly. Are you kidding me?
Sadly.
Carole King is one of the ugliest women on the face of the earth.
Oh, come on, man. In front of the church, she's a dish.
Hey, Phoebe Snow. You know, this theory is just gaining more.
The parade of ugly folk singers continues.
Harper Valley PTA woman, Jeannie.
No, Jeannie C. Riley, she's a country singer, sir. She's
right.
Not a folk singer.
Yeah, we would not accept Jeannie C. Riley. We would not accept Donna Fargo.
Hello. The happiest girl in the whole USA. Don and Mike, hello. Hello.
All the crossover songs that were hit.
All right, this is the last call. We'll have to do a break. Hello.
Two things real quick. The Asian chick from the Starland Vocal Band.
No, Starland Vocal Band was not folk music.
No, that was
pop.
Pussy music.
And I used to witness autopsies as a law enforcement officer. They had us when we were going through the academy. We had to get used to the smells and sights. And I'll tell you what. It was intriguing, but the smells would knock you out.
Yeah, well, that's what I saw on the show last night. Thank you, my friend. Which smells worse do you think, though?
Well, you know what?
The guy that found Mama Cass's body?
Oh, man.
Or the people on that autopsy chair. Or one of Janis Joplin's beefy farts.
Oh, my God. On the tour bus. Without air conditioning.
Hey, thank you.
All right.
Thank you. We got to go. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. If you put a knick-knack on their whatnot, they'll give you a what for. Don and Mike.
Today's Don and Mike Show is brought to you by Viramax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer. Doctor-developed and clinically tested, Viramax works. Available at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. 1-888-TRY-VMAX.
The author of Life's Little Pleasures.
Nobody knows them better than this man.
A man whose fingers I would delight in smelling. A man who is a man about town. A man who's been with nearly every woman on the planet.
I think a man who really deserves the title of Mr. Hollywood.
The guy had the balls to do a TV show with his ex-wife. And get this. The guy loves cigars.
He not only loves them, he has a line with his name on it.
Wow. All right. Is that enough ass kissing? Let's bring on now George Hamilton.
What a pleasure it is to have George Hamilton on this show. Hi, George.
I don't know how to beat that. I should just hang up now. You guys have done such a good job. My intro is better than anything I could do.
You know, George, we were talking about you, and we were saying, boy, we'd like to be like you. And I cut through it. Mike said he'd like to be like you, and I said, hell, I would like to be you. I don't want to be like you. I want to be you.
Yeah, I mean, I really would trade places in a second. George Hamilton, you know, you kind of, I read so many articles. I read an interview with you in Cigar Aficionado, and everything I read about you, you just, man, you got the life. You do whatever the hell you want. You chill out. You relax. You do enjoy life, don't you?
Well, I did until I decided that I'd open a few of these places for friends. And it started as a kind of a light little fun idea, and now, you know, it's...
Oh, they're making you work?
Oh, yeah. Now I have to, like, go out and... But the best part of it now, my whole life, the other great pleasure that I have now learned is that there is someone who will pay for everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I go in my own restaurant, so the first thing people say, hello, can you say hello to my wife? I say hello to the wife, and then you sit down, they say they'd like to send you, you know, whatever you drink. So in my own place, I always say I drink champagne.
Now, is that your drink of choice when you...
No.
No, of course not. But it's because somebody else is buying it for him.
Of course.
You just
right
like
away
it.
Comes a $200-$300 bottle of champagne to me. So by the very nature, I feel like those hookers that, you know, you have champagne cocktails. You know when you drink them that they're just 7-Up.
Right.
You know, well, that's the way I feel about it. But the truth of the matter is... when I go in my own restaurant, I've got to make some money, so I decided that I just drink champagne. And as it is now, my liver looks like a bocce ball.
All right, listen, let me talk to you about some George Hamilton-isms over the years. Let me tell you what a George Hamilton lover I am. And Mike will back me up on this.
Mm-hmm.
For the last 15 years, I have been saying, I swear to God, one of the top five funniest movies I have ever seen is Zorro the Gay Blade. That movie, George, is so freaking funny.
I will verify the fact that, you know, we've been working together for 13 years, and I swear to God, this is all, I think not a month goes by where that isn't mentioned as your favorite movie, your funniest movie.
When I see it on cable, it cries me out, 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, a dollar. All who like Zorro, stand up and holler.
We were standing out one day. We were trying to figure, you know, we wrote the script, but then we would do bits every day. And actually, I think one of the Teamsters came up with that. and it was 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits. And then I said, what are we rhyming now? He said, peso. I said, perfect.
Peso.
And then we, later, we did it. And
stand up and say so.
It was so much fun to do the movie, except that they used to laugh at me. And I couldn't understand. I would forget. I would scream at the Teamsters, move the trucks, because I was producing the movie. And I looked down one day, and I realized they were laughing at me. And I looked down, I was in a dress.
Well,
I just kind of lost it, you know. I played so many different roles, and I was playing my cousin from Santa Barbara, and I just totally blew it. But the bottom line is that I like Love at First Bite, and both of those movies I produced. And it's a strange thing. I can't get people to do those movies. I have to produce them myself, and then people call me like you and say they really liked it. So I'm going to do once again. There's a guy that did the Black Adder. You know that... series from England,
right? Uh-huh.
And Fawlty Towers. Those are the only guys who understand that kind of zany madness that I like. And so I'm going to be the whole month of November in England, hosting a show. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to get those guys to start writing Love at Second Bite for me.
Oh, good.
That'd be fun to do because they can write that kind of stuff, and it's a funny character to play. But I always like to do spoofs, and I love to do spoofs of myself mainly, and I've always been the first to. I don't take myself very seriously, but I do take work seriously because it's, you know, you have to, otherwise you don't work.
Are you in a robe right now or a smoking jacket?
Lounge lizard, your basic lounge lizard. you have to learn those lounge lizard lines, you know.
Listen, I've been married one. Now, I'm married to my current wife.
You almost slipped. You almost said second wife.
I've been married to my real wife for 17
right.
years. I was married to my first wife for less than a year. George, I could not imagine being 100 miles near that bitch. I get such great pleasure out of knowing the fact that my first wife works at a sewage treatment plant. How could you possibly have sat down every day and done a chat show with your ex-wife?
Well, the one thing about her, I mean, you know, she's got a great sense of humor. Now, we did have our moments. Just before we'd go on, there would be this thing where she'd scream, and she put her foot through the wall, and then I would have it framed. And so we had a lot of little, you know, frames that looked like little dog houses, but it kind of reminded her, because she'd just kind of lose it just before she'd go on, and then she would be totally normal on the thing, and I, of course, would look like I'd been shot at and missed. So I had learned that early in my marriage never to follow her moods, because then she would always say to me, like, well, what's wrong with you? And I'd say, I don't feel like going anywhere. And she'd say, well, let's go out to dinner. I don't feel like going out. I realized that was just her emotional pattern. It was up and down, up and down. So I let it all happen, and I learned to hum. and I would hum very complicated melodies, but you know, silently. And so she never knew it. And I always had this smile on my face. And she said to me at the end of our marriage, she said, of all the men I've ever met, you're the most pleasant to be around, and you never seem to get upset. I never heard a word she said.
You were humming.
And now, what's your philosophy about sinning? If you're going to sin, don't do it a little bit. Go all the way, right?
Well, now you're talking about our president.
Well, no, I'm just talking about...
I have sinned. I'm sorry, I have sinned. Well, first of all, I never exhaled. That was number one. Number two, I think the biggest thing that they're going to get him on, unfortunately, probably is breaking the embargo for using a Cuban cigar.
What a waste.
He will not this man will not leave office even after his term is over. They'll have to get a group to take him out.
Yeah, really. He's going to be there for a while.
He'll be there. And three, I think her biggest problem was she really, well, she wore white shoes and a blue dress after Labor Day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. George, you wouldn't have done her, right? She's below your standards, right?
I think I can understand. The man felt like, you know, there's an expression, we're all doing time. Now, the guys in the slammer do time, but he's doing time too. I mean, the Oval Office, he can't just go, you know, running around in the Oval Office nude and having fun.
Well, now, exactly. Now, listen, this is kind of what I said. I said, where's the guy going to go to pick up chicks? The guy can't go down to Georgetown.
The Secret Service guys, and he gets in the car, and they're always saying, this is Velvet 3 to Lancer 4, reading you 5x5, 10-4, over and out. We just, you know, the poor guy spends his whole life in a way. But Warren Beatty, I love Warren Beatty saying this. Warren Beatty said, the man should have foregone his masculinity and his manhood for the office for 4 years, 4 to 8 years.
So Warren,
I love Warren Beatty saying that.
Warren Beatty
Warren
said
Beatty
that?
Would make love to a rock if he thought a snake
yeah,
was on
right. Okay, thank you. Exactly.
I mean, what is he talking about, Warren Beatty saying something so stupid as that?
All right, now listen.
But I mean, if he was going to, my only point being is that if he foregoes his manhood, he'd have to get it back from Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's the one who's wearing the pants here.
Don't you agree that at this point, for the good of the country, Hillary should give him something? Because it's obvious that he's not getting anything anywhere else, and he's got to be the most sexually frustrated man on the face of the earth.
Well, but I mean, you know, first of all, you go and get Secret Service guys that are good-looking guys who can find attractive girls. He had a couple of state troopers back in Little Rock.
Yeah, a little different,
right,
though. A little different in the White House. You know, a little different in the White House.
I know, but I mean, the point is, that was his M.O. then. Why didn't he just upgrade the act? Instead, he was still, you know, the same girls back in Little Rock. He was getting in for the white. He upgraded everything, his clothing, his shoes, his haircut, his style, but he forgot about the women. You cannot forget about women. That's the most thing you have to upgrade in your life.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give the president on style?
Well, I think he's developing a certain style. I think before, you know, the problem was it had a kind of trailer trash quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he started, if you noticed, he started becoming a little Jack Kennedy. Because I actually think Jack Kennedy's his idol.
Oh, absolutely
sure.
On that.
Yeah. Sure.
And I think he started getting a little style there. And I think he thought that Jack Kennedy did ring-a-ding-ding, and he did. And quite a lot of it. But I knew the girls that he went out with, and they were attractive girls.
That's right. You've been in Hollywood a long time.
Listen,
yeah, I came out here on a horse.
Final question for you, George. I want to tell you something. We love cigars. Both Mike and I consider ourselves to be cigar lovers.
Yeah.
And when I first was in a cigar shop and I saw Hamilton's, right, George Hamilton, I thought,
another actor with a name on a cigar.
Right. I want to tell you something. Your torpedoes kick ass. Those are fantastic.
Which one do you like, the Reserve or the Upman?
Reserve.
I like the Reserve, and I did the same thing. We both smoked cigars, walked into a tobacco store. I saw Hamilton's, and of course you think almost a novelty approach to it. You say, well, okay, and I tried one, and
they are great cigars, George.
Really, it's a solid product.
To tell you the truth, I was very lucky, and also I know enough about cigars because I've been smoking them since I was 17, and I was very dedicated to them. When I got involved, it took a long time for me to do my own blend. It didn't come from, you know, just any, mini, miny, mo. And at that time, I was lucky to deal with two people, Hendrik Kellner, who is the man behind the Davidoff factory, who makes the Alvos and the Griffins and the PGs, and it was a very difficult time, but I got the best tobacco there was, and it was aged, and I bought it 3 years in advance so that the tobacco was really an aged tobacco.
And they're well made too. They're very well made cigars.
And he had a guy named Eladio Diaz. Eladio Diaz ranks with maybe five of the great top rollers. Number one in the world is Abellino Lara. He's the one who invented the Cohiba, and he now does a cigar called the Grey Cliff. And for it's in, made in Nassau. This guy is the last of the greats.
I want to tell you something. Our audience might be getting bored of this conversation.
Pretty cool.
I talk like this about cigars.
Man, he knows his stuff.
Your cigars are great. Last thing.
Whatever I do, I must tell you this. I have a passion for life, and I have a passion for details, and I don't do anything halfway. And I've enjoyed my life so much that if it was over now, I would be way ahead. The only thing that's going to be on my tombstone is more.
More.
And,
all right.
And I am the poster boy for pleasure.
Now listen, the name
work for caviar.
The name of your book here, I'll give you a plug now. The name of the book is Life's Little Pleasures. And
it was number 4 on the L.A. Times bestseller last week.
Way to go, George.
Congratulations. I see that it's got like 150 pages. But it's not real big print.
Oh,
okay?
I wrote it in 30 minutes. I don't know how I got 150 pages.
Yeah, well, you've got to make it to dinner on time, right?
I said I wrote it just over. Now, it gives you a lot of little points, but more importantly, it's got a, strangely enough, I didn't know I had any real depth. But when I wrote it, I discovered that I had a certain depth.
Well, listen, I've loved you since Zorro the Gay Blade. You make a great cigar.
Thank you, guys.
We hope your book, Life's Little Pleasures, is a big, big success. George Hamilton, just let me end the interview by saying, sir, can I smell your fingers?
I got to leave now, pal.
All right. Thank you, George.
Thanks, George Hamilton.
Right. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Nice guy.
Showbiz.
Ah, he's Showbiz George.
Yeah, we dig George Hamilton.
You know, you're sitting in a restaurant, he starts that cigar thing on. Yeah, hey, no wonder. You got to be looking at him. Hey, this guy's cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, really. I like George Hamilton.
Well, you know, probably I just pictured him sitting there, you know, the smoking jacket, little snifter full of brandy, and then like a woman one-third of his age, you know, Mr. Hamilton.
Yeah, and then he'd go over here. Bang Jackie Collins tonight or something. Go bang some girl from Melrose Place. Go back, have a cigar.
He's Hollywood, man. Showbiz.
Goddamn. Sit under the sun lamp for a while.
Sure.
George Hamilton. And he's right about that. I don't doubt it took 30 minutes to write this book.
Yeah, probably didn't write it himself.
He's got lots of pictures like a cigars and a banana splits and stuff in it.
Life's Little Pleasures.
Life's Little Pleasures.
Take me where the sun is. I'd like a cigar and a banana split, please.
All right, George Hamilton right there. Sorry, we're out of time.
So we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.